Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
I just noticed something that in one of your interviews with John Candy, I believe, it looked like an older interview, you had less hair than you have today. How do you explain that?
I don't wear a wig, sir.
Paint your bald spot?
What bald spot?
You paint your bald spot?
I don't know what you're talking about, sir. My hair grows.
Do you paint your bald spot?
I don't have a bald spot.
How come you had less hair on the tape?
Maybe my hair grew. Maybe I had a bad haircut that day. By the way, something.
Paint your bald spot?
I don't. Do you paint your bald spot?
Paint your bald spot?
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Take this square world and blast off the Dixville.
Listen, I want to tell you guys something, and I'm not only talking to you guys here in the room, all of you who are happily married like myself, but I'm talking to all the guys out there.
All the guys who are happily married or all guys
Well,
in
just
general?
Guys. Just guys in general, because eventually guys will get married. Yeah. And I'm telling you right now that it's all a game of chicken.
Marriage?
Yes. You ever play that game when you were a kid? Now, I never did, but I had some roughy friends who would, where you would have two guys at the end of the street, and they would drive at each other. Actually, I guess I never really saw it. I saw it in the movies.
Right.
They would drive at each other, and then the guy who turned at the last minute, he would be the chicken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was a fun game. I think everybody's played different versions of it. You can do it with cars.
Right.
You can do it with, running at each other. You can do it with bats, like we did in my neighborhood.
Oh, really? Well, okay, whatever.
I lost many, many times. Yeah, I never thought they'd really swing.
But nonetheless, it's a game of chicken.
Sure.
Let me explain this to you. This is how I figured it out, really. In this thing with my wife and the renewing of our vows.
Right.
Yeah.
For 16 years that I've been married, my wife has been saying to me, let's renew our vows. I mean, she said it to me the day after we got married.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a big thing to her. It's a big thing to a lot of girls. That they have one wedding.
I didn't realize the first day of your honeymoon.
That was the first day.
After, yeah.
Let's renew our vows.
Sure. Huh.
I am so full of love for you. Let's renew our vows. That's what she said to me.
Right.
Actually, she's only brought it up in recent years.
Sure.
Okay. I think once we got to 10 years, she started mentioning it would be nice. And then the 15th anniversary came.
Right.
And I didn't do diddly again. Didn't do Jack.
Diddly poo.
Diddly poo. Jim Moritz sucked. We stunk. Guy gets his knee blown out. Not badly, hopefully.
Totally disgusted and totally embarrassed.
You fill up my senses. Like a night in the forest. Buzz! Buzz! Come fill me again! You know, that would be funnier if we had any song, but unfortunately, who owns a goddamn John Denver record?
Collection's at home.
Nobody. We couldn't find anybody that has a John Denver record.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, about why marriage is like chicken. So she's been saying to me, do this, let's renew the vows.
Right.
I said this past year on our 16th anniversary, honey, love you so much, willing to do it.
You were very, I remember when you came in on the
Wouldn't
show.
Wouldn't be prudent.
You were talking about how excited you were and how in love you were, and you were ready at that very moment to renew your vows.
And then she said, great, wonderful.
Right.
And I said, how about this date in October that is special to both of us? And she said, yes. Well, as it turns out, over the weekend, as you might have heard me mention yesterday, over the weekend, we had some conversation about it, and she said, basically, since I didn't want to do any of the planning on this whole thing,
right,
that she didn't really want to have the whole big thing redoing the vows.
She wanted actually you to do a lot of the groundwork.
Right. Now, I will tell you all along, what I've really wanted, is, and this is why it's so great to play chicken with your wife, because I got what I want.
Ooh.
What I wanted was just to have a little thing in our house, no special thing.
Sure.
You know, to me, that's special. You have the Rev and his old lady come over to the house, and he hitches us, and then we all go out to eat or something.
That's terrific.
Real simple, real clean. Now,
and romantic.
When I first brought this up to my wife, it was no, it's got to be bigger, it's got to be bolder than that. Well, yesterday, I don't know how, we were discussing things here on the show, and the topic of taking my wife out to Vegas.
Yes. Oh, and I know you got jacked up when you heard Vegas.
Oh, yeah, baby. I mean, it's like that Albert Brooks movie where he goes to Vegas.
Vegas is cool. Yeah.
You know the place in Vegas where they have the
Little White Chapel.
Yeah, they got the bells that move back and forth, but they're those neon light bells.
Very cool. They perform lots of weddings there, one right after the other.
It's so cheesy. It's fantastic. And I thought, now that would be a nice little kick.
You know, there's actually one in Vegas, I think, that's a drive-thru. Where you could do it a drive-through wedding.
Oh, even better.
Yeah.
So my thought was we'd hop on an airplane, fly out there,
right.
You know, get hitched again,
sure.
Then get one of those hotel rooms that has like a heart-shaped bathtub.
Wonderful.
You know, in dirty movies, and room service.
And then hop on a plane the next day and you're back.
And come back. Mm. Well, as it turns out, that was too much for my wife. Mm. She knew that those are some details that I could handle.
Right.
That I can pick up a telephone. I can call a hotel in Las Vegas. I can call an airline and make a reservation.
Better yet, you can call a travel agent and have the travel agent do it all for you.
So last night when I got home,
yes,
as soon as I walked in the door, she said, before we sat down to dinner, she said, listen, really, don't plan this thing to Las Vegas. And I said, and this is how I felt at the time, listen, this is our special second anniversary, whatever we're calling it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll handle it.
Sure.
And as the night went on, she got more uptight about it and
right,
came back more and more and said, please, have you made the call yet? Don't call. Don't do. And I said, listen, I'm going to handle this. You want me to handle the details? I'm going to handle the details.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind, I don't want to handle the details.
Of course.
I never wanted to handle the details.
Sure, you didn't want to have anything to do with it.
Right. I thought I was making the move by saying, let's do it. You know, let's have the preacher come over and let's get hitched again.
So she's getting uptight as the evening is wearing on.
Right. Now, at this point, I am watching the ball game last night.
Right. Oh.
As always, I am insulated from the rest of my family there.
Thrusting yourself into the world of TV sports.
And that's the only time I like baseball, is when something's on the line.
Right.
You know, otherwise, it sucks and it's very boring and it's too slow to watch.
Playoff baseball, very exciting.
But when there's something on the line, man, I'm there. Besides all the good shows on Channel 4 weren't on last night, like Frasier and all that other stuff. So I'm watching the game, and every once in a while, Frida would come back in the room and stick her head around the corner and go, hey, hi, how's it going? You didn't make that phone call, did you? I said, listen, don't worry about it. She said, I saw the phone was on a while ago. Were you on the phone? I said, yes, I was on the phone, but none of your beeswax. Now, she doesn't have to know that I was on the telephone with my brother. I didn't offer up that information.
Right.
So finally, about 9:30 last night, a beaten woman, she, mentally beaten, I should say.
Yeah.
She comes into the house, comes into my den, into my cave, and she says, listen, if you haven't called Vegas yet, how about this? How about we'll just have the Reverend come over, and he'll marry us here in our house.
There you go.
And then we can go out to eat with him and his wife. And I said, hey, that's okay with me if it's okay with you.
Total victory.
Yeah, right.
Total victory.
Now, see, here's where I'm walking the tightrope, though.
Right,
By showing you the soft underbelly of my plan here today.
Yes, by coming in and practically bursting with pride about your victory.
There is a chance.
The whole thing will melt down.
There's a chance that my wife will start that game of chicken again.
Yes.
And this time, she will not turn away.
Yeah, she'll actually go all the way with
this
it.
This time, she will steamroll me and make me do all the other stuff.
Now, you like the situation with the Reverend coming over.
Yes.
Better than the Vegas trip.
Yes, I do, simply because I'm lazy.
Yes.
And as much fun as it would be to go to Las Vegas, you can't get any lazier than a guy coming to your house to renew your vows. I mean, you know, the preparation time for that is upstairs in the bathroom.
Just a shower? Maybe not even that.
Not the three S's. How about this? How about two out of the three S's?
Two out of the three and you're all set.
And who knows what those two might be.
Huh? Oh, yeah. And if you go out for a big meal afterwards.
So anyway, that's my lecture today, that if you're involved with a woman, if you're a guy, play chicken with her.
Sometimes you have to just stay the course.
Right. And don't be afraid.
And don't back off. Just stay right there.
Now, I still am very jacked about doing this with my wife again.
Yeah, you sound like you're in a good mood about it.
Are you kidding? I'm on top of things.
Sure.
I love my wife. I'm glad that we're renewing our vows.
Right.
I'm glad that I don't have to make all those calls and that we don't have to have all you people come over to our house and, like, screw up our whole weekend.
Yeah.
You're like, with no offense to anybody in this room or any of our other friends.
Course, certainly none.
We understand.
You know what I mean.
Of course we do.
It's a drag to have all those people come over and you got to clean everything.
Sure.
And
right.
Then I always have to kick people out when people stay too long.
Absolutely.
And then I'm tired all weekend. I'm
That's right.
Cranky. Yeah. It's easier just to do it like this.
So when are you going to do it?
I think next weekend.
Next weekend.
I think so. Not this weekend, but I think next weekend, because that's close to the special date that we have picked.
And then you even get to go out to dinner, so you don't even have to worry about having a dinner at your house.
Right. And then the last thing I said to her is, hey, you know what would be nice? Nice romantic touch. Why don't you see about getting a car?
Yeah, there you go.
And you know what?
Then you don't even have to drive.
Right. Right.
People come to your house, marry you, you get into a car, there's a driver, you're all set.
There you go. That's how you redo it, and that is why.
Oh, dear.
I'm lying. Pick it up, Rob. See what she wants. Hello? I have mentioned how deeply in love with my wife I am.
Yes, you have.
You seem very excited about the prospects of...
Turn the situation around.
Yeah. No message. Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, tell her, hold on.
Bye-bye. No message, she'll talk to you later.
Oh, now that's not... Hey, that's not fair.
Ouch. Oh, dear.
That's not fair.
Now, see, that in and of itself is a slight game of chicken right there. That's a little bit of a chicken game there.
I lose.
Because you're calling right back.
Oh, absolutely.
It's what she wanted you to do.
Of course. Because she didn't like the fact that I had Rob pick up the phone.
You know that she wants you to do that, so in a way...
We're sorry.
And now she's disconnected her phone.
Totally disconnected the phone.
Anyway, I think I played it pretty good, and I think my wife is happy with the result.
Uh-huh.
At least she was happy before I came to work tonight.
Up until 3.
And I'm happy with the result.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Hi, honey.
Hello, Boo Boo.
Hi.
I just wanted to let you know that dinner with Reverend and his wife is all set up, and that would be lovely, but...
Great.
No need to renew the vows.
Oh, now, come on.
No.
That's not even funny.
No, I'm not joking. I mean...
That's not funny.
No, I love you very much.
Oh, dear.
We're married. Just
come on.
Forget about it.
Oh, no, come on now. Oh, no, listen... You know what? Right now, my wife's playing the biggest game of chicken.
No, I'm not.
This is the biggest game.
I am totally serious. It's too much effort. It's too much.
But there's no effort. The Rev comes over. He takes care of us. We get in the car. We go out to dinner.
You know, effort and thoughtfulness go hand in hand. No effort.
Why is
no
that?
Thought.
Yeah, why is that? Why does effort and thought matter so much?
That's
the way of the world, Don.
Aren't we a results oriented country?
So we love each other.
Yes, I love you so much.
And you're telling everybody in the world right now, you know, everybody, more people than we would know than we would have in our house.
Yeah,
right.
So then that's good enough. No thanks.
All right, really?
I pass. Right.
Okay, then.
Just a minute for this term. I'm not ready to re-up yet.
All right, well, then we can cancel dinner with the Reverend, then.
No, I like the Reverend and his wife, and that would be a pleasant night out.
That's no, I had sense. My, listen, I had my heart set. I'm going out with him, but only if he had just performed the ceremony on us. So, no, forget it.
Well,
we'll go out with him another time. This weekend's far too special.
All right. Now, I'll go out with the Reverend and his wife, then, because I enjoyed their company.
I enjoyed their company, too.
Well, good. And you don't even have to go. How would that be?
That would be ideal, but, of course, you know, I can't accept that agreement. No, I want to go out with you, and I want to go out with the Reverend, so why don't we just let him marry us? How about this? How about if he marries us, like, in the car?
You know what? Even if it's not that important to you, I think
honey,
he takes his job a little
like,
bit
honey,
more seriously.
Wait,
this is like going to a biology class,
honey,
and then they perform an autopsy
honey,
right afterwards. Yeah.
This is important to me. You know what? And I'm being serious with you now, Freddie. You know what would make it special for me? The more spontaneous, the better. You know what
yeah.
I mean? To me, that's something...
Spontaneous equals lazy.
Sometimes.
Yes, it does. And no thanks. I mean, nothing.
Oh.
You had one job on our real wedding.
I've mentioned that. That was the band.
That
was screwed up, right?
Right. And you have no job.
So listen, so if when we originally got married 16 years ago, I screwed up the one job you gave me, why you want me to do it again? Why can't we just get married this way?
Wait, Sugar Bear.
Yes.
It's not even necessary. Don't even worry your pretty little head. I'm not going anywhere.
I know.
We have a son to raise.
Oh, God.
I love you, for better or for worse. No need to go to all the fall of getting married again. It's silly.
All right, well, I thought you had wanted it. I had never needed it, but I thought you had wanted it.
I wanted it, but I was wrong to want it.
Yes, you know why? Because it's wrong to simply want a symbol. I'm there every day proving how much I love you.
That's right.
This is fascinating.
Yeah.
I
hope somebody's, like, writing this down.
No, I was totally in the wrong.
You weren't
God.
In the wrong.
No,
you weren't in the wrong.
We're doing the day-by-day drudgery. That's what counts.
Interesting new development. This is quite a battle of wits we're witnessing.
I don't think you have such the day-to-day drudgery.
No.
I think we have a pretty happy goddamn life, don't we?
No, we are. And love is more than words and symbolism and
yes.
romance.
Right.
It's being in there in the trenches and it's, you know, and
that's
it's
right.
a job.
Every day in the trenches, I am with you every day.
I appreciate it. So I'm just going to let this term play itself out. And then we'll see if someday we want to renew. But, you know,
No. Listen, I told you.
This term.
I am ready.
I didn't know marriage was, like, renewable.
I am ready. Oh, every day it's renewable, Mike. Yeah.
No, we don't need to re-enlist quite yet.
Okay.
All right.
All right. But listen, I'm going to make you that offer.
No need. The contract is still valid. I mean, sure.
Of course we're married. That's why this is so goofy, because it doesn't really mean anything.
And in your world, sometimes, you know, if a football team has a player they're especially pleased with, they give them a new contract. But it's not necessary, because ours is ironclad.
All right. Well, I'll explain the difference to you, that when you have a football player, he's an employee, and he does everything you say, or you can fire him. Now, you're not my employee, are you?
You know what? We have a bad connection, but I'm sure you're speaking words of love right now. But
I love you.
Really, just be going through my head. You know, so I'll just wait and save this romance for another time, Sugar Bear, because it's hard for me to make it out right now.
All right, now listen, just tell me something.
What?
Really, about this. Bottom line. Come on. You want to do it, right?
No, I don't want to.
All right, what if I call the... All right, listen, how about this?
I don't want to go to Vegas. I don't want it. I don't want you to just...
what about Atlantic City?
Spritz on some aftershave.
That's romantic.
You know, I don't want you just to stroll downstairs and say, I do.
Why? Why? Listen, listen, honey, this is what gets me. When we got married 16 years ago, we had all that crap.
Yeah.
We had the horse-drawn carriage. Right. We had everybody we know there.
Chuggy, there was no horse-drawn carriage.
Yes, there was.
No, there wasn't, my darling.
Yes, there was, my darling.
There was no horse-drawn carriage.
Man.
All right, maybe there was.
My God.
Okay.
No, wait, hold on. What was that thing that your mother got a ride in? You and I didn't ride in it.
There was an antique car. There were no horses.
All right.
Horses.
That's what I meant. That's what I meant.
And I know. And you proposed to me at the bottom of the radio station you were working at in the parking lot, and that was really touching. So we couldn't
talk. Oh, no, you got a problem with that?
And then we went on our honeymoon and came back and found out you bounced a check for a honeymoon.
Oh.
Could not.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, God.
That couldn't be more romantic either. So we have all those memories.
Okay, listen, forget it. Never mind, forget about it.
All right,
you're right. I love you, too.
All right, goodbye.
Goodbye. Well,
there could be a rough seas ahead.
Well, here I was 20 minutes ago, full of life.
Yeah.
And look at that. You get that message, guys?
Yeah. Yeah. The message is sometimes you have to play chicken and lose.
I haven't lost yet.
I know you haven't.
Game's not over, Mike. That's the great thing about being married. The game goes on 24 hours a day.
I believe this is an ongoing saga, and I don't think anything is secure. I don't think anything is definite yet. I think you could very well be going to Vegas.
I had her on the ropes.
Right?
I had her on the ropes a couple of times today. I just couldn't deliver that knockout punch.
I was going to say, if you really wanted to do the wedding in the house, just the reverend coming over and marrying you, what you might throw in as an offer would be that you write the vows. I mean,
look at that. Mike's microphone has just been turned off.
Wow.
Isn't that something? That's great. Nice idea, Mike. That's a very nice idea. Unfortunately, no, our judges do not agree with that.
Only take you about 10 minutes.
Well, I know it would. That would piss my wife off, too, because she said you only worked on it for 10 minutes.
I've seen you write speeches in 3 minutes.
I can't do it.
That lecture that we gave out in Sacramento?
Listen. Oh, at that college.
Remember that?
Yes, but please, no more help, okay?
Oh, okay.
All right. Thank you.
Well, I'm just sitting here living it,
I know.
Through you and, just figuring. Yeah. So where does this stand now? I'm very confused.
Well, you'd have to come to my house and have dinner tonight to figure that out.
It's real. That's the thing, folks. It is real. This is you go on the air with this because you want to see what's going to happen.
It's not a bad thing. I mean, it's not like we're having some life or death argument. We're talking about renewing our vows.
Sure. Mm-hmm. You still want to do it?
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Just I don't want to have... all the junk. Hello?
Hello?
You know what I mean? I'll marry her. Mm-hmm. I would marry her again.
Marry her again like the first time.
Hello, Don and Mike show. No, not like the first time. That's right, bounce that check. Hello?
I didn't know you did that.
Yeah, well, she,
for your honeymoon?
Yeah, hello. She wanted a honeymoon that was a bit out of my price range, and I didn't...
Was that the one where you went on the boat?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was, and I figured I would worry about it when I got back.
Sure.
And I did.
Way to go.
Hello?
Hello?
Well, a girl only has one honeymoon.
Sure.
I mean, if you have no money and you're gonna bounce a check, make it on your honeymoon, man.
I think that's a fantastic idea.
I think that's kind of romantic myself.
I thought, even bouncing the check. I mean, you didn't have any enough money in the account and you paid for the honeymoon anyway.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Are you guys talking to me?
Yes, we are.
Yes, hello.
Actually, I called to clear something up. I'm from Vegas about the chapel you're talking about. I wanted to give you the name, but first I need to comment that you're 100% right.
Of course I am.
From a woman's perspective, your wife is acting like a Class A spoiled brat.
Oh, no, I don't agree with that.
I do.
I'm not an easy guy to live with. Listen, don't make me argue my wife's position on this.
She's never happy with anything you've suggested.
No, she's not.
You've suggested everything. You've run the gamut from staying home to going across the country to everything, and she's not happy, but...
Are you married?
Yes, I am.
Really?
Yeah, I actually got married in the chapel you guys were talking about. Name is Chapel of the Bells.
Chapel of the Bells.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was the little white chapel.
No, and it's in the movie Indecent Proposal and Honeymoon in Vegas and Vegas Vacation. It's in all those movies.
That's what I want, is a honeymoon in Vegas.
All right.
Well, thank
Chapel
you.
Of the Bells.
Thank
yeah.
you. Thank you.
Thank you, and goodbye. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I'm getting married this weekend. I'd like to talk to Don about romance. I'm getting married Saturday.
Well, congratulations. Listen, did we give this advice to someone last week? Do you own a car?
What?
Do you own a car?
A truck.
All right, a truck. Even better.
Yes.
Are you? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from by Sioux City.
Sioux City. Oh, I need a map. Point the car up.
Towards Canada.
And drive into Canada.
Drive to Canada.
That's our advice to you. Point the car north. Point it up. And drive, man.
Yeah, go to Canada. Anybody south of Denver should drive to Mexico.
Drive, man.
Why is that?
Freedom.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Freedom.
Free at last.
Free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last in Canada.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, I need some advice.
What?
Well, I'm playing chicken with my wife.
Listen, what are you playing chicken about?
Well, there's something I want to buy, and she knows I want it, but she doesn't want me to buy it.
All right, now, you know when he won't even say it, you know, it's got to be, what is it?
What is it?
It's a leather jacket.
Hmm. A leather jacket?
Oh, well, you know, you go for it.
It's a Monday Night Football leather jacket.
Oh, it's one of the big expensive ones?
Oh, well, no, actually, it's not that bad.
How much is it?
$160.
Yeah. Mm. You know, guys who wear stuff like that, and I'm one of those guys, generally, you kind of look like a big doofus wearing those jackets when you wear them out in public.
Is that what she says, that you're going to look like a doofus if you buy it?
No, she said, we'll talk about it.
No, I was just giving you a guy's opinion on that. I think that most likely she probably doesn't want you spending $160 on a jacket.
But I'd love to have that jacket.
Well, then listen, go buy it. Go buy it right now.
Oh, you're killing me.
Go buy it right now. Do it, man.
Okay.
Do it. If you don't have money, write a check.
Yeah, and if the check bounces, it'll be romantic.
Okay.
You bought yourself a Monday Night Football jacket and the check bounces.
I'm glad we could help.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And if things don't work out, go to Canada.
Hello. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey.
Hey.
You don't appreciate this woman.
Oh, I think I appreciate my wife more than anything.
Very, very interesting that we get that call from a woman.
She sounds fabulous.
And then we get this
fabulous.
Call from a guy.
She is great.
I will.
Listen, my wife is great. I don't think I've ever said anything to the contrary.
Well, I know that you haven't said anything to the contrary, but you're not showing it.
Showing it? Jesus, are you married?
Four times I've been married.
Well, yeah, I'm not going to take marriage advice from a four-time loser.
Loser?
Forget it.
Expert.
Jerk?
Wow.
Jerk face?
I guess he's never spent any time in Canada.
Four times.
Four times.
Listen, three more and you'll be up there with Larry King.
Hi.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi.
Hello.
How you doing?
Hey, we're doing great, thank you.
Is Charlie there? You know, Charlie Swing Stilopoulos.
Charlie's in Canada. Charlie's vacationing in Canada. He's in Ottawa.
Hello. Don and Mike, he drove his truck up there.
Yes, he did. His big truck. It's a good humor truck.
Hello. With the bell and everything.
Oh, he likes it. No ice cream in it,
Hello.
Though. He ate it all when he first got the truck.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, I want to know what Rita did for a living, that she's always on her
car. Did you say Rita?
Well, now, listen, first off, her name is Frida.
Oh, Frida.
Okay, and my wife had all kinds of jobs.
And why can she not drive your son to school every morning?
Because is there some hatred out there. I enjoy driving my son to school in the morning. That's something I do of my choice.
So what does she do all day?
She tries to make my life as happy as possible.
I see. And you do the same by renewing your vows, trying to make her life as happy as possible.
Yes, I do, sir.
Boy, the judging that's going on in this man's
mind. Tremendous judging.
What is your final judgment, sir?
that you would live a happy life. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
And are you married?
No.
No, of course. I got another... You know, easy. It's easy when you're sitting on the sidelines.
Sounds like he's got a bomb to plant somewhere.
I'm saying hello to Don and Mike show.
Hi, Don.
Hello.
You know when you're little and your parents say they're mad at you and that makes you feel bad, but when they say they're disappointed in you, then you really feel bad? I'm so disappointed in you.
Oh, man.
Like I care?
Let me down. You should.
Like I care? Who are you?
I'm so sorry for Frieda.
Well, who are you?
You are being a pig about this.
You have no idea what my life is like.
No,
my wife's got a great life at home. We got a great marriage. You shut your mouth.
I'm not saying you don't have a great marriage, but you should do this for your wife. I mean, my God, it's one day.
No, it's more than one day because there's all the planning and junk.
Oh, God, Don, it would take you 30 minutes tops.
Oh, I don't think so. And you know what my wife would say? She'd say, this job looks like it took you 30 minutes.
Yeah.
No, she wouldn't. Because you could make a big show of it that it's taking you a long time.
Why don't you apply some of this nervous energy to your own relationship?
I already have.
Fold some paper bags.
Okay? I plan my own wedding.
Very good. Very good.
Well, you can tell that our audience has made up their mind. They don't know what to think.
Well, our audience should just keep their mouth shut. That's what they should do, Mike. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike. How are y'all today?
Hello, we are fine.
Good. Listen, Don.
Yes.
I see Frieda's point, but I think that you're doing pretty much the right thing. I think maybe she should be just a little more flexible with you. I was married in Las Vegas, and I think it's one of the best places in the world to get married. And so I recommend it for everybody, even if it's the second time around.
So I took the butcher knife, and I put it up to her neck.
That's exactly right.
Stop making me those sloppy.
If you want to live to see tomorrow, you better stop frying me those slimy, sloppy eggs.
Hello, Don and Mike. If this is another call about this topic, I'm really going to shoot myself in the head. Hello?
You're in big trouble, Don.
Oh, all right. Let me shoot myself in the head.
Here he goes. He's putting the gun up to his... Whoa, hey, that bounced right off his skull.
Man, I got a thick head.
Look again.
All right, I'm going to put the gun right into my temple, Mike.
Okay, do it. Press it up against there and see what happens.
Hold on.
Wait.
Whoa. Yeah. Look at that.
I cannot believe it can't penetrate that cranium.
I'm alive. Yeah, boy. I can't kill myself.
And there's not even any blood.
No.
It just looks like a little cat scratch.
Look, there's five bullets on the floor. Here's the sixth one. Oh. There you go. Get those right after the fans.
I swallowed the bullet.
Hello? Yes,
I hope you're careful when you go home tonight and bring some flowers or something.
Well, I'm always careful.
I know you listen, Frieda better than anybody, but she...
Here's the other flowers. You know my wife hates flowers, but if I bring my wife...
whatever she likes.
What do you mean she got everything?
I'm telling you,
I think this woman is suggesting a trinket or bubble of some kind.
No, it doesn't work with my wife. And my wife's not really pissed.
A bubble, something she enjoys, something she'd like a lot.
I know my wife.
That's right. Bounces off his cranium. Amazing.
Listen, thank you for the call.
Sure.
Thank you for the call. And Jimmy the intern, please hang up on all of these people on hold right now.
Watch out, Duck.
I will let you know what happens on that subject, okay? I'll give you a report a couple of days from now.
Who knows what tomorrow will bring? Obviously, something will happen tonight.
Whoa! Yeah. Oh, and we've got to do a break, and we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Roses are red, violets are blue. I'm a schizophrenic, and so am I.
The Don and Mike Show. Oh, my God. It's Don and Mike.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys. Mr. O'Mara.
Yeah.
I have a question to ask you, and Mike as well, Don. And where does...
And then steamroll
the lovely gentleman called.
Hold it. You said, Mr. O'Mara, I have a question for you, and Mike and Don as well.
Yes, sir.
Okay. What does that mean?
For respect, sir.
Okay.
Out of respect.
Okay, but you know that Mike's name is Mike.
It's the Don Mike
O'Mara, is it correct, sir?
Yes, you said Mr. O'Mara.
And Don Geronimo, is that correct, sir?
Right.
Yes, that's correct.
No.
Okay.
I'm just clarifying it.
He's mixed up, Mike.
Okay,
he's
confused a minute.
All right, very good.
It's all mixed up.
Am I forgiven?
Yes, of course.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm.
You do know of a gentleman called Jerry Falwell, the biggest spot in the world, right?
Yes, right.
Doesn't he not live in Virginia?
Yes. But he's not a fan of this show.
Is he not one of these crusaders for... And I do know for a fact, sir, that he has a tremendous dislike for you people.
This is Bill Murray calling right now.
Hello, Mrs. Trey.
You're hiding.
No, I'm calling from Vegas.
I see you tramp.
You're wearing green so you can hide. You're a tramp.
When you said
I'm calling from Vegas.
Okay, when you said that Jerry Falwell doesn't like us people, what people are you referring to?
Well, what I mean is, in fact, he doesn't like anybody that's free and liberated and open. You know, he's a very, very tight Christian.
Yes.
You know, his butt is squeaks when he walks.
Yes. So what can we do for you, sir? What's the
So
point
what here? I was saying is that everybody talking about the ABC board in Virginia, and I'm wondering if anybody considered the fact that since Mr. Farwell has such a burn that he could not be very influential with ABC, because he does control a lot over there in that little Virginia.
Do your friends at Happy Hour listen to you when you're doing this?
Pardon me?
And do they nod and say, yeah, I understand, because we don't understand.
You don't understand? Okay, let me...
Jerry Falwell, hold on.
Christian organization.
Hold on. I live in Virginia. Jerry Falwell doesn't run the state of Virginia.
No, he's a televangelist. He's got his little groups, but that's where it ends. We're talking about...
He's nothing.
He seems to claim that he has quite a bit of influence.
Okay, but I'm talking he has no influence. People know that Jerry Falwell is a jackass.
Oh, I know that.
And you've got your thing about Jerry Falwell, and it's not really directly related.
I have my thing about anybody that tries to interfere with freedom of speech and freedom of expression. That's what I have.
Okay, right on, sir. I'll meet you at the Revolution. Okay? I'll see you there.
No, guys, I live in Vegas, and it's a lot freer here.
It's the fourth time he's said that.
That's all I'm telling you.
Right. It's a very free society. You're very lucky to live in Las Vegas, sir.
And I was very fortunate about the fact to be able to speak with you guys.
And you believe in freedom of speech.
Absolutely,
which
sir.
Is terrific, even if that freedom of speech allows you to say something that's totally confusing.
And when this man hangs up the phone, he illegally can go buy himself a prostitute.
Hear, hear.
That's fantastic, mm-hmm. sir. Fantastic. What time will you be buying your prostitute this evening?
Well, I don't know. In Pahrump, it's legal, so if I drive out to Pahrump, I'd be able to do that.
Yes. So what time will you be buying your lady of the evening?
I'm married, sir.
And did you say that's Pahrump, Nevada?
And I'm also a physician.
And did you say that's Pahrump, Nevada?
Pahrump.
Pahrump.
Pahrump-a-dump-dump.
Pahrump.
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 What is the going rate for a half hour with a lady of
$25 per rump?
Oh, no. Those houses over there, they charge, I think it's $200 for the hour.
Shocker that you know that,
yeah,
Mr. Married Physician.
You knew that immediately off the top of your head.
Well, no, because they advertise it out here.
Right.
Mm.
It's in large advertisements. You'll see it all over.
Here's me, Mrs. Gray.
You're hiding, you tramp. Well, listen, I appreciate the fact that you're behind us on this free speech thing.
I really am, sir. Really, believe me.
Jerry Falwell is just a total ass, and he has no say as to what goes on in the state of Virginia.
Well, see, when he comes here to Las Vegas for his seminars, whatever they are,
right?
Listen, he seems to portray the fact
Jerry Falwell,
a great deal of control in Virginia.
He has no control. Jerry Falwell is a buffoon. Do you hear me? He's a laughing stock.
Absolutely.
Right?
We've got real people of positions of real power in this state that we need to think about.
He is a jackass of the highest regard.
Mm-hmm. Would a petition be maybe beneficial in trying to change this law in regards to ABC? Because they do have a lot of control.
Would that be a petition or a partition?
Petition. P-E-T.
See, I know what you're saying was petition, but the way you speak, it came out as petition.
Well, I apologize very much. I'm from Italy originally.
Ah. Oh, you're from Italy.
Oh, you're from Italy.
You're an Italian.
I was born in Palermo in Sicily.
Oh, Robin. Hey, are you mobbed up? That's how you can help us, if you're mobbed up.
Don.
Yes.
I'm a doctor here. I've been here for 28 years. 30 years here in Vegas.
But just answer the question. Are you mobbed up?
And I'm retired.
Are you mobbed up?
I'm retired, Robin. I had a
Did
nice
you ever give John Gotti a prostate test? Did you? Did you?
No,
sir?
But I did remove a few lead splinters.
Oh, did you really?
Absolutely.
Oh, and how many would you figure in your illustrious
career? In my career? Oh, I'd say perhaps maybe a couple of hundred or more.
Wow. So you are mobbed up. Fantastic! Now we have finally found a meeting of the minds.
Are you the kind of guy that late at night they can call you and come out there and say, "Hey, you know, Joe Pesci here's got a stomach. He's gut shot."
No, not any longer, sir. I don't do those things.
But in the past.
I'm a retired gentleman.
Like maybe like 30 years ago, probably statute of limitations has run out or something like that.
That could have happened, yes.
Wow.
Cool. Really?
It's a possibility.
Pretty cool.
You know what I'd say? If you guys have seen the movie Casino?
Of course, many times.
I tell you that I lived it.
Really?
Did you give you an entertaining idea?
See, now we want to hear what you have to say.
Now it's all getting better now.
Who cares about all your Jerry Falwell crap?
I was born in Palermo, Sicily, by the way, guys.
Palermo. I mean, right there. I mean,
right. That's actually, in Santa Bella. That's a small community.
Outside. Are you 100% Sicilian?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, my. That's it. He could be a made guy.
Yeah, somebody says to me, I'm Italian. I go, no, I'm Sicilian.
There you go. That's right. The way the Sicilians feel.
Are you a friend of ours?
Absolutely.
Mm. Wow.
A complete supporter.
No, he knows.
He knows exactly.
He know?
Yes.
Are you sure he knows?
I believe he knows.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, did you see Donnie Brasco?
I've seen the movie, yeah.
So you know what I mean when I say you're a friend of
mine. Of course, I know what you're saying.
Yeah. Oh, okay, he knows. Good.
I'm well aware. I might say this way, Don, you might enjoy this. About 3 weeks ago, there was a lottery drawing at St. Vitus Church, and the gentleman that won the money asked that his name not be announced because he was one of the Murder Incorporated that was still around.
See, now you're scoring some points on this show.
Boy, that's way back when.
Here I was, ready to hang up on you, just another feeble old man when you're going up on your Jerry Falwell thing.
Boy, back in the murdering. And do you know this guy that won the lottery thing at the church?
I do. And in fact, what he did is he gave the money back and put another $1,000 to it.
you call anytime you want to talk about how you're all mobbed up, okay?
I would say these guys that, you know, we're not all, you know, we're still here. We're just a church praying that maybe if we did anything wrong, we'll get to heaven if we go to St. Church.
Okay. Now this guy's really coming out of the show now.
Yes, sir. I love it.
All right. Thank you, doctor.
But I can't have him living too much about me because I don't want to walk in the desert easily than he anyway.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. I liked it all the way up until the...
Governor Gilmore is not available to the phone this week, and there's no one in his office that'll come on the air.
Mm. All right, well, thank you for trying, though, Rob.
You know what I say to that?
What's that?
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don. Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Hey, buddy.
You're doing great.
This is Michelle in Las Vegas.
Yes, hello, Michelle.
Hey, just wanted to bring a good point up. Pahrump, Nevada. I'm from Northern California, Sacramento.
How much Pahrump?
Pahrump is like Rio Linda, just on the suburb of Sacramento. It's not all that. He's talking a big thing. It's not all that. It's just a little town.
And are there whorehouses there?
They are, but they don't advertise outside their building. There's a couple that say they're massage
parlors.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
So they don't have. I haven't seen any advertising for it. And I have a friend that lives in Pahrump, but I've been up there.
Is it a girlfriend that lives in Pahrump?
No, it's a male friend.
Really? Is he a pimp?
No, he's not a pimp.
Is he a John?
No, he's from Northern California. His mom lives down there.
Oh, there are Johns in Northern California.
I know they are, but they're not as prominent as they are in Las Vegas.
If you were the type of individual that would like to frequent a bordello, would Pahrump be a good town to live in?
No.
It wouldn't.
Why is that?
Because it's like, I mean, these guys have been up to Sacramento. Have you been by Rio Linda?
We're talking, Mike and I have been to some of the finest whorehouses in Sacramento.
All over the world, Don. Not just Sacramento. All over the world.
All over the world. London.
Yes, London. Then there was London.
Uh-huh. And there was London. We have been to some of the finest whorehouses in the world, and we have found no finer whorehouses than we found in beautiful Sacramento, California.
Sacramento is my hometown. I love that place.
Right.
Are you talking about Rio Linda?
Rio Linda. You know, what do you call six women from Rio Linda lined up in a row?
What?
A full set of teeth.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
I got a little shout-out for all the whores in Sacramento.
And the whores in Pahrump.
We got much love going out for you today.
Pahrump, pump, pump.
Much love. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, Don and Mike, that chick doesn't know what she's talking about. Pahrump is fabulous.
Now, why is Pahrump so fabulous? And I'm looking forward to hear about this.
Let me tell you, I drive a cab on the weekends out here.
Uh-huh. You're calling from Vegas, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I had a couple Ruskies in my cab last Friday.
Ruskies, Russian guys?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Picked them up at a strip joint here. They, do you want to take me to get the prostitutes? So I say, yeah, okay, no problem. Uh-huh. Stop off at the truck stop on the way. It's like 40 minutes out. Buy a bottle of vodka.
Of course.
Get a good case of whiskey.
going on there.
Okay. Tell us about the Pahrump-pump.
Well, it's a $50 minimum usually. Now, just so you know, the cab drivers get 10% of whatever they spend.
Now, is this, are there lots of places in Pahrump or just a couple?
There's three or four.
Four good ones?
So you get what? You get $5 on every guy that comes in here?
Well, no. If they spend $400, I get 40.
All right, but if a guy goes in just to, for the minimum, you get $5.
Well, those girls are pros, dude. They're, you know, the minimum is usually, you know, $300 or $400. If they go in, you can get, you get a bath for $50.
You get a bath. How wacky is that?
Hey, Dennis would like that. Right.
You go to a whorehouse and you say, "Hey, how much for a bath?"
So anyhow, I
oh, God.
Is that a bath where like the hooker gets in the bath with you?
Yeah. Yeah, they wash you down, but they don't get naked.
Right.
Oh, my.
Really?
These Russian guys spent like $3,800, so it was a nice take. Plus, it was a $200 cab ride.
So you sit out there and wait for these guys to get done?
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, these guys...
Well, they got a cabbie lounge where they got a soda pop machine and cable TV.
So if you're so inclined to go into the cabbie lounge when these guys are doing their business, can you... have a little fun, too, while you're waiting in the cabbie lounge?
I could, but, you know, I'm making my money. I'm not spending it.
Okay. So these Russian dudes dropped $4,000 in one night?
They were conventioners. It was all, what do you call it, business write-off, I suppose. I don't know. But anyhow, they got back late the next day, and we were really upset.
And you're saying that Pahrump-pump is a good place to go?
Yeah.
You said they were upset?
Why were they upset? Yeah.
Well, because they were late for their convention.
Oh, late to the convention. Yeah. Okay, I got you. All right, yeah. Thank you, sir.
You bet.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Interesting. Educational. I seem to remember meeting a cab driver in Vegas who was funny. In fact, maybe one more than one, where I think Vegas, if I'm not mistaken, is a good town for cab drivers. You get a lot of guys that are, like, will talk to you, and they're actually from this country, and they're mm-hmm. actually, they have a real...
Americans?
In fact, there was one, a buddy of mine, we're going to see, I'm going to sound like so gay, we're going to see Wayne Newton. But we're seeing him. We're going to see him as a joke, right?
I know. This is when Mike was in his very depressed stage between
right.
marriages.
Yes.
When one holiday, Mike says to me, cousin, he says, "Hey, you know what I'm doing? What do you think of this? Christmas in Vegas." Yeah. And I said, "Oh, I don't know, buddy." He says, "I'm going to Vegas for Christmas. I'm going to see Wayne Newton.
We get
He's going to come out in his astronaut suit.
Space suit, you remember.
Yeah, of course I do."
He comes out in his space suit, and this cab driver didn't like Wayne Newton, and I never laughed so hard. This guy was just, first of all, it was a lot of language. You know, it was the F word. "Oh, you're going to see that F word squeak. Oh, that's the first thing. Where were you going, guys? We're going to see Wayne in. Oh, you're paying money to see that effort squeak?" And he goes on and on about this, and I'll never forget. He was like, "What a memorable cab ride." And then we got to the Wayne Newton show, and we went down to the front row. In fact, we tipped the maitre d'. We tipped him. We were going to go down, and we were going to laugh at him in the front row. And we sit next to a family from Texas, a mother, a father, and like a 25-year-old daughter who was not unattractive. And they sit down, and we're sitting there, "Hey, well, we got mom and dad here, but this is a very nice-looking lady." And that's when they said, "We've seen Wayne Newton 16 times in concert, and we are really, really big fans." And then the mother, who was literally, because they, you know, on those tables, those
they cram you
in. They jam you down, and the mother, who's sitting directly across from me, looks at me and says, "You know, it's just so nice that this is good, clean entertainment, and we are going to have a fantastic time. If you've never seen him, you're in for probably," and she's just totally serious, "probably the best show of your life." And I looked at my buddy, I'm like, "Oh, God. Oh, my
Michael
God.
Mara's Christmas in Vegas."
That was a very dark period in my life.
I know.
What can I say?
I was right before the girl dumped you at the airport. And where?
Not the airport. Dumped me in Bermuda.
He stood on his balcony and watched her plane take off.
Thank you. You guys, I'm glad you have memories.
Sure.
God bless all of you.
Hello, Donna Dwight.
Donna White.
Those are some of my favorite years, the Michael Bear troubled years.
I know.
It's like you enjoyed the story about me drowning.
Yes.
And get my foot cut in the bicycle.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I love the story about how you're on your balcony at 8 o'clock in the morning having a beer.
Watching the plane take off. Watching the plane take off and then came back and did what I do. First day back, I told you the whole story right here on the air, because that's the kind of professional I am.
Hello.
My tragedy was your amusement.
It was.
Oh,
it still is, Mike.
I know it is.
It still gives. Hello.
Yeah, Donna Mike. Yeah. I just talked to the ABC, the people at the ABC board.
Yes.
And they basically, it was really screwed up, because see, what they said was that, like, it was all your fault. They didn't accept any blame for it.
Right. How could it be all our fault?
They were saying, you know, like, oh, well, the lewd conduct that they perform, you know, should not be viewed by people. And I brought up the point that these people, you know, even the people that complain, they have to choose their...
Well, let me just interrupt you here, because it's one of the things I do best. Who is the ABC board to decide what's right for everybody?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, since when do they have this sweeping arm of censorship to decide? I mean, I guess it's obvious they have the power to do it, but how the hell did they get the power? We should take this power away from them.
That's why we need to talk to the governor, who is not...
And nobody in the governor's office is taking our call.
No.
Yeah, my point was the fact that these people who are complaining, they're over 21, they have the right to complain, but see, the thing is, they don't have the right to take away other people's right to view what they want to view.
I'd also like to say, as far as I know, there's been no complaints about this. It's a show that hasn't happened.
I think when you spoke to it the other day, I think that their feeling is their right to dictate anything in an establishment that has a liquor license. That's where, really, I mean, everybody I've talked to about this, all the bartenders I've talked to about this, hundreds.
You've done lots of extra research on this.
Well, you know, as soon as this was happening, I felt that was my duty to the show to actually speak to bartenders and really speak to bartenders for a long period of time. Not one of these 5-minute, you know, how do you feel deals, but maybe spend a good 2 hours and talk to them. It's my opinion that they have really total authority when it comes to any place that has a liquor license. That's the way it works.
Sucks, man. Sucks on ice. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, all right. Hey, can I just say one more thing real quick?
No.
Bastards!
Okay, thank you.
I thought he was credible right from the get-go.
We will be back in a minute.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
How much for the little girl? The women. How much for the women?
What?
Your women. I want to buy your women, the little girl, your daughters. Sell them to me. Sell me your children.
Maitre d'. Maitre d'.
You. How much for your wife?
The Don and Mike Show. Zero tolerance for stupidity. The Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, what's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, did you guys get a load of that Regis show last night?
I did, and I thought it sucked.
Ooh. That is about a waste of airtime that I've ever saw in my life.
I love game shows. I love all game shows. I really do. I love watching game shows. That is the most tedious exercise in pathetic game show lore you have ever seen.
Who wants to be a millionaire?
Is that your final answer? And then I'm going to have to, because I don't know that Baghdad is the capital of Iraq.
I need to call my brother, Timmy.
I had to call my brother-in-law.
That's so lame. All right, this is Rich and Chico. I'm signing off.
Thank you, Rich. It was so horrible.
I feel out of the loop because normally I'm all things TV, but I forgot to watch the show last night.
I was so disappointed because I was almost going to call you at the end of the show just to say, was that the worst thing you've ever seen? It was so... The big problem is all game shows should move at a fairly quick pace. That's the whole thing.
Jeopardy.
Jeopardy, you know, say what you will about Jeopardy, moves at a very fast pace. Wheel of Fortune, you know, moves at a decent pace. It's got its system. But the thing is, with this show, it was so... Not only do they get to have these lifelines where they can call a family member, or they can get a 50-50 choice, or they can poll the audience for a very simple, stupid question.
Who wants to be a millionaire?
At the end of all that, when they finally... And they give the contestants unlimited time to hem and haw to make a decision, including that obese lady who was sitting there last night saying,
oh, what should I... I'll say Baghdad.
There's no time limit? No. There doesn't seem to be. No. And then... I'll say Baghdad, and then after all that, she's called her brother to get that answer. She finally decides she's going to go with it.
Is that your final answer?
It's like, shut up! What is the result?
Yeah, he says, fine. He asks every time if it's the final answer.
Oh, sucks.
And a sneaking suspicion that Regis is really not capable, because, at the end of any game show, it says, and it's best like on the Match Game, portions not affecting the outcome have been edited from this program.
Right.
The disclaimer last night, I taped it because I didn't get home in time, so I'm reading
I wish we had that luxury on this show.
The portions not affecting the outcome of this show.
If we didn't like something, we could go back and redo it. But, Don, that would be impossible because every show is perfect.
Mm-hmm. I guess you're right, Mike.
Thank you. And incidentally, today's ratings are in.
Thus far, we've only been on the air 10 minutes.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Perfect job, Mike.
Same to you, Don.
Perfect job.
Great job.
Congratulations, boys.
Thank you.
Call us at UsReOKDodo.
But at the end, the disclaimer read, portions not affecting tonight's game have been edited and or recreated.
Yeah, I'm sure there are a couple of moments. It is a very tightly edited show. You can tell.
Yeah.
And you can tell that there are moments when Regis had cranial cramp where they had to come back in.
Can I take that again, please?
This music is driving me crazy.
Yeah, just little bits of Regis sneaking through there just frightening and don't belong.
Yeah, but the total last night, you know, on the $1 million show was $8,000. That's when they said, we're out of time. You'll have to come back to see if she'll be a millionaire.
Who wants to be a disappointment?
Oh, I can't believe I forgot to watch that.
It was so awful. I mean, it really was. And it wasn't awful because Regis was screwing up. It was awful because the game moved so slow.
Painfully.
You know, you like to really get the results of something like this, but I need a lifeline. And then, you know, they go to the audience, and, you know, you see the audience.
No wonder the show is a huge hit in Britain, right?
Like one of the things, like, what is a trawler? What type of transportation is a trawler? Is it a boat, a plane, a train, or a car? Now, a trawler, I think most people know, is a boat.
Right.
And so they go to the audience, and you got...
You know, you just ruined it for me. I was really thinking about that. Maybe I should call my brother Jim and ask him what he thinks. If he's not busy having my mom arrested today.
So they go to the audience, they have this poll, and the audience is, you know, kind of divided on this thing, and it's just, it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It sucked.
It did.
It's so totally, totally sucked.
I can't believe I didn't watch it. Instead, I watched the Karen Carpenter, the Real Hollywood Story.
Well, you'll get to come back tonight and see if it sucks as bad.
And when I was watching the Karen Carpenter story last night, I guess that the Carpenter's estate, or which one of them is still alive? Richard Carpenter's still alive. I guess he didn't cooperate with the special.
John is still alive.
Because they didn't give a lot of footage of the Carpenters to use in the story.
Right.
So a lot of it was that reenactment stuff.
Norm is still alive.
Who is Norm Carpenter?
Oh, it's Norm Abrams from This Old House.
What was it, Carpenter?
Oh, Carpenter.
All right. Shut up. I just threw a pen at you.
You know, the guy did all the grunt work. He's a very skilled carpenter.
I got it. Okay, I'm with you. Okay.
Tremendously skilled carpenter.
Yeah, it's been a long time since you've made me throw a pencil at you. Congratulations, Mike.
Thank you.
See what you made me do?
Now look at you.
See how you make me hurt you?
Hey, Bob, we're going to make some cabinets today.
I'm Bob Vila. I'll be doing nothing while Norm is up on the roof. You seen the commercial for Bob Vila for non-alcoholic beer?
No, I have not.
Where it's Bob Vila at a karaoke bar?
Bob Vila is somebody who's like a poster child for needing alcohol.
Bob Vila. He's singing a song about redoing your house.
Right.
Yeah.
He's singing?
He's singing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Wow. It's one of those awful chorus commercials.
You know, they let Norm now on the This Old House Classics. I think they run them on HGTV.
Right.
You know, they're on the weekend Sundays, and they let Norm do some of the promos, do a lot of the setups, and they shouldn't do that. They really should. Should always shoot Norm from a side angle, because I think Norm has the vish teeth.
You know, he's got his own show.
He's got his own little cabinetry show.
Right. The Yankee Woodshop or something like that.
Yeah, where he makes cabinets.
He's got vish fingers, man. He has Scott the Dwarf-like fingers, if you've ever seen a real close-up of his hands.
Absolutely. And I'm very fortunate that he's got all of those fingers, too.
You know a commercial I hate, a course commercial I hate more than the Bob Vila commercial? Have you seen the commercial with John Elway? It's not so much John Elway, as it is Dan Patrick sucking.
Talking about John Elway and, you know, what do you expect me to drink? I never gave it a thought.
I don't even get mad at that. I mean, that's fine for John Elway. Do your ad for the beer commercial. Mm-hmm. But Dan Patrick... It's like 30 seconds of Dan Patrick saying, he's the greatest football player ever. He did everything. He threw for everything.
Right.
Who is he? Mr. John Elway. I mean, I don't know how he could have any respect for himself.
I hate that.
Dan Patrick, I mean, not John Elway.
There should be really almost legislation that all beer commercials, no matter good or bad, but they should all be humorous. They should not be serious. I don't think making a serious, like when you have... August Bush come out and talk about his family, you know. It's not America.
It's some goddamn PC thing that around the time when those commercials were really funny, when you had John Madden bursting through walls and stuff.
Classic.
It was around that time that John Madden started to get some bad PR.
Right.
Because people said, hey, John Madden shouldn't be endorsing drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since then, the beer commercials have gone down, down, down in quality. This is not funny anymore.
That's right. They should all at least strive to be funny and no more serious beer commercials. I think serious beer commercials are an incredible waste of time, almost as much as Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
I will tell you now, though.
Oh, we have more calls. Hold on a second. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hi, is this Who Wants to Be an Us Rio K Dodo?
Right on. Hello, sir.
Yeah, I wanted to see if you knew the name of the other show that gave away $1 million one time.
The other show that gave away $1 million.
There was another game show one time that gave away $1 million.
I mean, was it a classic game show or was it like a contrived move?
Who was the host?
Jim Dating Game Lang.
Jim Lang, I have no idea. Brains, you got, you got an idea on this one?
I remember the show. It was an NBC, it was an afternoon show on
What
NBC.
Was it? What was it?
$1 million chance of a lifetime.
It was just, yeah.
How long was it on? 5 minutes?
Probably.
All right.
That's how long Regis' show is going to be. All right.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Hello there.
Don and Mike?
Right on.
Hey. Did you catch the E! True Hollywood story on Hervé Villechaize's tattoo from Fantasy Island?
No, but when I was watching the Karen Carpenter one last night, they were promoing that, and I really wanted to see it because they had, like, baby pictures of Hervé Villechaize. And when he was a little kid, when he looked virtually the same as he does now.
Yes. It was excellent. It has a lot. There's a lot of footage of him with the shirt off doing karate. And he was also into firearms.
That I would love to see. And there I bet you have a lot of real footage of the real guy. Unlike the Karen Carpenter story, which was just so cheesy. And every 2 seconds, reenactment. Whenever they had somebody puking.
Oh, they had a reenactment of it?
And they had the grainy camera where you would see these bony hands open up bottles of laxatives.
Oh, no.
And it would all be it's total recreation.
Was Peter Graves doing the narration?
No, it's on the E. That E exclamation point is the worst channel.
Love of vomiting.
We have Steve Kometko doing the
Hi, this is Steve Kometko, everybody. I'll tell you what I was going to say a moment ago. Thank you, my friend.
Yes, thank you.
We were talking about the PC beer commercials.
Yes.
This is the worst PC thing I've ever heard in my life. I read this today in the newspaper. That in San Francisco, where all such crazy ideas start,
right.
There's a group of people out there upset. Now, you would think there are more important things in the world to get pissed off about than this.
Mm-hmm.
They're concerned that people who own dogs, and like when you go to license your dog and stuff, you write down that you're the dog owner.
Right.
They want Congress to start legislation because that's not right, because you're not the dog's owner, because the dog has more rights than that. You're the dog's caretaker.
Guardian, I think.
And they said blacks have rights, gays have rights, women's have rights, minorities have rights. It's time for dogs to have rights.
I got your dog's rights right here.
When they learn to stop taking in my living room, that's when I'll give my dog some rights.
And you are the owner. You are. They are totally
and I'm
dependent
not just,
upon you.
I'm not just the owner, Mike. I'm the slave owner.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. I'm the slave owner, and those dogs are my slaves, and that's the way I want to keep it. I treat them good and everything.
Good. No, I mean, that's the difference between animals and human beings. Mm-hmm. You own animals.
Oh, I got pissed when I read that in the newspaper. These are people with, just I guess, no time on their hands.
You know, if you are not going to the pound, in many cases you're going to a dog breeder, and you are writing a check for that animal, which means you own that animal.
You're the owner.
And
you
I'm
bought
it. I spent a lot of money on both my dogs, and I'll tell you right now, I am the dog's owner, and the dog still sticks his head, you know, halfway down my garbage. You know, and I hear this rustling, and I look into, and, you know, and I see a chewed on diaper in the morning. I know that it's neither Laura or myself that have been, like, eating the diaper at night.
I'm thinking of changing my dog's names now.
Yes?
Give them all slave names.
Oh, God.
You know, like on Roots. I'm thinking about changing Colonel Kling's name to Kunta Kinte.
Just to drive home a point.
Just so I can make the statement that I'm the owner, they're the animals.
Yes.
Please. And these people, look, they put millions of dollars into a campaign now to get the public aware of this. And they're all going to be riding bicycles, of course, all the nuts ride bicycles. They can't get in a car or get in an airplane. They're going to ride bicycles with their dogs from San Francisco to D.C. to get Congress to sign this legislation.
Caretaker.
Right.
Guardian is the word they want.
Guardian?
Guardian. They want the people to be guardians.
Legal guardians.
Right.
Listen, dogs can only see in black and white.
Mm-hmm.
Everything you say to a dog sounds like this to the dog. Please. It's a good relationship we have right now. They can't handle having rights like real humans do.
That's right. And I've met many human beings that you know walk around with like a whole bunch of snot across their forehead.
No,
you know, not really any means. Well, Rob, I know you. Yes.
Hello, true. Robbie.
Okay. No means of getting it off.
This really pissed me off. It's one of those PC things that just drove me crazy. And they're equating it to like women getting the right to vote.
Oh, that's sick.
Right, and equal opportunity and all that
that's
other
sick.
Stuff.
Right.
What? Hello there.
Hi.
Hi.
You're saying it. Did I hear you squeal? Did I hear you squeal? It's not sick before we were done talking.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Honey, it's very sick. Thank you for calling us Re-OK Dodo.
No, I just wanted to call. I have no reason for calling, actually, except to say that I almost quit my job just so I could listen to you guys.
Well, that's very nice.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to get us into a nice little debate about this when you said it's not sick.
Well, it isn't sick.
Ah, have you, so you maybe
that women
have
can vote? Is that what you said?
No. She's a woman who should not be allowed to vote.
Absolutely.
I say take her vote back.
Try listening.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, Don and Mike, Buzz, Robbie, the whole gang. Hey, listen,
Buddy.
Out here they're so freaky. The guy who's the head of the SPCA for San Francisco has little miniature hotel rooms. No lie, they put a little TV in there, and they each have like their own little couch. So when they're going to be adopted, they're more apt to be a good dog. And when you see these little rooms that they have for them, they've been in some of the local papers out here, you swear it's like a little miniature motel for these dogs.
And like I said, everything that's crazy starts in San Francisco.
Right.
I saw an article related to this that was talking about the same guy, the head of the SPCA or whatever this group is. They're all for animals, where they did a side-by-side comparison of the homeless shelters for humans in San Francisco and the homeless shelter for dogs. And the dogs, like this guy says, they got little beds, they eat hot dogs, they get TVs turned on. Meanwhile, homeless people are sleeping on the ground.
Like a big room with cots, right?
Right.
Sure.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Hey, I would stay in one of these rooms, I mean, if they had a good deal on them. Goddamn, they're nice. I mean, it's a joke, these little bedwetting liberal guy that this guy's doing this. It's a joke.
All right. Thank you, my friend. Hold on.
I fancy myself as a liberal. Don't stick those people on me, please.
Here is my liberal bedwetting wife. Hello, honey. Yeah.
You know that Bart and I will be bicycling with our friends, our dogs.
Right, the dogs that we own.
No, we don't own them. If we don't own them, they could run off whenever they wanted to. They live with us because they got a good there, but they're
No, they live with me because I have a fence where they cannot get out, and my dog would run away if he could.
Yeah, honey, listen, please. You tell me we don't own them, and you put that inhuman electric fence collar on our nice dog Kunta Kinte.
We don't own them. I take him walks, and I take him off a leash all the time. He comes to me out of choice. He could eat me if he wanted.
Honey, I'm changing his name from Colonel Kling to Kunta Kinte.
Sydney, you don't own them any more than you own me.
I own that dog. I own you. I own you, baby. You're my property.
We stay with you out of pity. The dog's in us. We've all discussed it.
Did you buy your dog?
Yes, of course we did, Mike.
Okay, then you own it.
No, I didn't. I paid to register. No.
Hold on. You bought Clink and you bought Max.
I have the papers on him, but you cannot own a living creature.
No, but you bought him. But you did. But honey, you did because you went to a breeder and you paid money for them.
Listen,
I love those dogs, but please, they don't have any rights. Those dogs are property, just like my couch.
Yeah.
Just like my television set.
You purchased it.
Just like my satellite dish.
You wrote a check for the dog.
You could throw away your television set or your couch.
I could throw away my dog if I wanted to.
So could I.
You couldn't hurt them. Yes, I could. You'd be arrested.
I don't want to, but I could. And I could throw them away. I could throw you away if I felt like it.
I can't hear you, boo-boo.
I said I could throw you away if I felt like it. I didn't think you'd kill me.
All right, when you have maybe you do own them. So when we revolt tonight, you'll know why.
What?
I said when we revolt, when you are murdered in your sleep by your loving family and
honey,
your dog.
Listen, honey, hold on a second.
This is getting very ugly.
Listen. Who loves those dogs more than me? Nobody. As a matter of fact, how many times do I hear this complaint when my wife comes to bed at night that I'm talking so nice to the dogs that when she comes in the room, you know, she gets no sweet talk because I've wasted all my sweet talk on the dogs. I love the dogs, but let's be honest, they're animals. They're animals.
They are animals, but you can't own them because they could run away if they wanted
to. Honey, we own them. They're our property.
All animals could run away if they weren't, like, restrained.
Honey, we are...
Your TV and your couch can't run away.
We are dog owners. We're not caretakers.
No.
We're dog owners.
Inanimate objects you can own. Inanimate objects don't have any
will. You own anything that you pay for.
Why can't you just be on my side in anything?
The dog
Why can't you just be on my side? I just can't be a good wife. Be a good, obedient wife.
No, and I told you we're having a New Year's Eve party with dogs invited because in the next millennium, dogs are going to be animals are going to be treated better than they are in this millennium.
If you didn't own the dogs and you're saying they could wander away, that would mean you would never like acquire a dog. A dog would simply one day wander into your yard and then you would become its caretaker.
Honey, you bought the dogs.
No, just like a child. A child could run away if it wanted.
And you could buy a child if you wanted to on the black market. Then you would own the child.
And when a child is too young to understand, you restrain it. Yeah, you put it in a car in a playpen.
Honey, listen, please.
Own the child.
Please, please, you're making yourself out to be one of these kooks.
Well,
you really are. You're a very bright woman, but right now you're unraveling, honey. They're dogs. They're animals. If we were hungry, we'd eat them.
They are animals. They have feelings. They are sentient beings.
I love those dogs, but I own those dogs. I'm the master.
No, they're not yours to do with as you wish. You couldn't leave them in your car on a hot day. You'd be cited for it.
Yeah, but if your dog takes a bite out of some neighbor's leg, what do the police say? Where's the owner?
Right.
Who's the owner?
Well, just because somebody else calls it an owner.
Honey, everybody does.
It makes it so.
Everybody does.
Well,
listen. When dogs drive.
Not everybody.
And,
not me and the bicycle.
Honey, when dogs drive and vote and. You know, run radio stations and stuff and go out and are functioning members of society, then I will give them the right.
You don't own children and they can't do all that.
And caretakers are people that look after other people's houses that own the house.
Guardian.
Oh, guardian.
And you know, Buzz is on my side because we've talked about our animals before.
Buzz is a fruit when it comes to this discussion.
I'm crazy as a loon.
Yeah, right. Buzz is not responsible in this.
Do you believe in this? Do you believe? Where do you line up on this, Buzz?
Well,
of course he does.
I don't like arguments over semantics, and I think that's really what it gets down to. I think we should treat animals better than we do, generally, but, and I think...
Do you own your cats, Buzz?
I didn't buy them.
Do you own them or not?
If the police came to my house, come on, Buzz, just yes or no.
Do you own your cats?
You're a cop. You're at my door. Yes.
Yes. Did you hear that, honey? Say it louder, please.
If you're a cop and you're at my door, my answer
is yes. Not a cop. If you're in your heart, to you, are you their owner
in my
or
heart,
their guardian?
In my heart, I'm their guardian.
There you go. Thanks.
Well, listen, why is this such a big deal? I love my dogs. I love them very much. But let's be honest, I'm the human and they're the animal. I own them. Honey, you could get the same stupid argument for your plants. Your plants are living things.
Well,
should your plants have rights?
I'll keep my plant opinions to myself because then I do kind of go off the deep end. I'll lose any credibility.
Really? Do you talk to your plants?
But I do talk to our plants. Good. I mean, our plants aren't being.
Do you own our plants? Or do they have rights too?
You know what? I can't. No, I mean our plants. I wouldn't purposely kill a plant.
But do they have rights? Are you the plant's owners or are you the caretakers for the plant?
Guardians.
I don't know. I feed more of the plants. I'll have to give you a ruling on that one tomorrow.
I really think the most important thing is the way. The dog would feel. If we're talking about that, are we agreed that the most important thing is the way the pet feels?
Okay.
Pet
all right.
Care
and the pet could care less.
The dog has no idea if he's if he's a slave or if he's a citizen.
No.
Semantic.
Dogs could care less whether you are called owner or guardian.
No, it's just a word that a dog doesn't understand, so he doesn't care.
Right,
but
so
I don't think you can be owner of anything with free will.
Honey,
but dogs don't have free will.
Yes, they do.
How can you say our dogs have free will when you installed the electric fence not only in our yard but in our house, meaning if the dog walk into the rooms where you have your nice furniture, they get electronically shocked.
I know many a dog who totally ignored an electric fence.
Honey, just
burst through.
Answer the question.
You know what? I put the electric fence up for the dog's safety so they don't run into the street and get run over.
That's right, because you're the owner.
Then why did you put it in
the
house?
Hold on. The same way, I didn't put an electric fence for Bart, but I did other, you know, restraining
this
devices.
Is why it's awful living in my house.
I would say you
have these discussions all the time.
You didn't do it because you wanted the dogs. You wanted the dogs to stay in there because you wanted to protect the dogs. You wanted to keep the dogs because you like having the dogs around. You like owning
the
them.
Dogs.
Yeah,
honey,
you
honey.
Like owning them.
Honey, when you
love
said
the dogs.
Honey, wait. You said you put the electric collar on the dog so that they don't run into the street and kill themselves.
Right.
Well, why did you put the electric collar in the house then? Why did you put it so the can't so the dogs can't go in the living room?
No,
so, the dogs can't go in the basement.
To protect the cat, because
answer for everything. Listen,
the truth,
honey.
Answer because they're true answers.
I need another slave name, please, because I need that name to change my dog Max's name.
Rob Spiewak.
The only slave that I know off the top of my head is Kunta Kinte. Who's another one from Roots?
Going with the Wind had Big Sam and Mammy.
George. Thanks for the help, Rob. Let's be a little careful here, okay, guys?
Also, all right, also from Roots, Chicken George was one
exactly.
From Roots.
Okay. I like that. There that's better than Mammy.
Okay.
Chicken George.
Okay.
Listen, I'm just
everybody's helping it out now. Good.
I'm just
good
making a political right statement.
I understand
Mike.
You
that's
are.
That's why I want to give my dog slave names because I'm the owner.
Good for you. You go ahead and do that.
I'm the owner.
All right.
The dogs probably think of you as their slave, and that would be more accurate because we feed them, we take them to the doctors, we serve them. They probably think of us as their servants.
All right, honey. Love you.
All right, love you too.
Love you. See you.
Goodbye.
Bye.
You know what I got to do? I just got to take every radio out of my house. I really do. Stay there. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, what that dang old internet, man. You just go on there and point and click. Get in there and talk about www.com. You got them naked chicks on there, man. You go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
The Don and Mike Show.
I miss you.
Yeah, you should. You never come see me.
I've been busy.
Everybody's busy. And don't lie to me. I know your father forbids you coming down here.
Nothing, honestly. There's almost a tug right in the house.
That kind of talk. Don't let me ever catch you talking that way.
Now, in their 20th season, it's the Don and Mike Show.
Sometimes when she calls in, just really sets me off. Really does.
Well, she's very good at arguing.
She loves arguing.
She will go to the end, and I know you're no slouch in that department either.
No, but even I got a point where I finally say, okay, enough.
Will she go to the death? She will fight to the death.
I guarantee you tonight when I get home, this argument will be picked up at 7:35 as soon as I walk through the door tonight. I guarantee. Listen, I don't care what my wife says. That's a stupid rule. That's a stupid, stupid rule.
Are they winning out there in San Francisco? Or
they've got all kinds of support.
Oh, dear.
All kinds of support.
That's a shame.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Don and Mike.
Hi there.
What's going on?
Hey.
I was wondering if you heard about ABC offering the WWF so many millions of dollars to change their time slot on Monday night so it wouldn't conflict with Monday Night Football.
No. Thank you, sir.
All right, thanks.
No, I'm sorry, I don't know anything about that.
I'm still thinking about dogs right now.
Me too.
It takes a while to wind down after that.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Radio Gods.
Hi there.
Only somebody from California could drag a dog across country and then say the dog has rights.
Yeah, really, exactly. If those dogs had their druthers, they wouldn't be going across country.
But I tell you, if the neighbor said that my dog bit him and the sheriff came over, I'd say, nope, that's not my dog. He has his own free will.
Hello there, Don and Mike.
You know, it
Hello.
Does, if they do succeed, I just realized it does open up an entire legal quagmire. It really does, because you could, if you ever had a problem with your dog, now why are you shaking your head?
No, because you would still be the dog's guardian, just as you would be the guardian of a child.
Yes, but
a guardian, as you would be responsible for the child's actions.
Yes, no, but it's just like, when there's an adolescent, many times you don't prosecute the parents when the kid blows away the school.
That's changing.
It's changing, but it's still the law that it's not true.
The child's owner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the dog's owner.
Same thing with the dog. If you're the guardian, hey, I'm not responsible for what my kid did. You know, put the dog down. I'm not responsible. I cannot be prosecuted.
I love Don and Mike Show.
Oh, Radio God.
Put the dog down.
Put the dog down. Put the dog down.
How you doing?
Such an old man saying, we're going to have to put the dog down.
Put the dog down.
Going to have to old yeller that dog.
Hey, the dog bit the neighbors. Going to have to put him down.
Put it down. Hello there, sir.
Hello, how you doing?
Hi, we're doing great, thank you.
I agree with you totally. The only way I'd accept having a dog as a guardian is if I can claim him on my tax return and claim like $5,000 for rent.
Another fantastic point. I think that's another benefit.
Valid point. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Hey, fine, my friend.
I have 2 points about what your wife made.
What?
First of all, if she says the dogs have free will, correct? If they want to run the street, that's their decision. Let them run the street. Let them get hit by a car.
My wife was wrong about a million things in that discussion.
And the other point is, my parents own a kennel. We sell dogs. We own dogs. When a dog gets a job, buys its own food, cleans its own mess, bathes itself, right, then it can have rights. That's I own my dog.
Now, I would say that the answer to that argument, even though I am firmly on the side of ownership, I will tell you that the counter to that argument is very easy. You would say dogs, really, in a natural environment, could fend for themselves at a certain point.
Let there are many dogs. Drive a car.
There are many. No, I'm just talking about like going out and eating squirrels and stuff like that.
I know.
You know, many wild dogs in America that just run in packs and they live on garbage.
Not my dogs. My dogs are so domesticated, so spoiled. My dogs couldn't eat outside without a knife and a fork.
I'm serious. Linen tablecloth.
Only table food.
And a waiter.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Radio Gods.
Hi there.
Hi, this is Pat from York.
Yes, Pat.
I got a little twist in it. It doesn't have anything to do dogs, but it's a twist on the animal rights story. There was an article in a paper up here in York it might even been a year ago or so, where they were complaining about animal rights for animals that were about to be butchered. Well, that's the way the story started out anyways, and it seemed that it was a standard animal rights story. As you read further down into the article, the reason they wanted more humane butchering was because the meat was tough, because the animals were stressed before they were butchered and would make the meat tough.
Mm-hmm. I'm all for that.
Isn't that
I'm all for tender meat.
A strange twist.
Mm-hmm. I'm all for very tender meat.
I was reading something about in the post today about goose liver, what they do for foie gras.
Terrible.
Really?
Yeah.
What do they do?
They like jam this cornmeal mixture down the goose's throat.
Using a pipe.
Using a pipe.
It makes it taste better, man.
It enlarges their, but yeah, I know you'd hate foie gras, wouldn't you?
I don't know.
Goose liver?
I don't know.
Okay.
Put a sauce on it, might be okay.
Ketchup?
Yeah. I don't know. You know, my wife is such a nut, though, about that stuff. You know, sometimes my wife, when we're driving down the road, especially when we go to the Eastern Shore, when we see all those chickens in the back of a truck,
right?
My wife will then, she actually start crying when we're driving down the road, and she'll say, "We can't ever eat chicken again." I said, "What are you talking about?" She goes, "Chicken." Really starts bawling and stuff.
Part of life.
Yeah.
Part of reality.
That's what they're here for.
When Carrie was out of town last time, she was stuck behind a pig truck for a while, and then she came home and she said, "I'll never eat pork again." I said, "That's all right. Keep buying it. It'll get at." So, but, that's, you know, it's the same thing.
She girls. Pork,
so.
That's right.
Silly
it's
girls.
Very sad when they have to put those pigs down.
Silly girls. Hey, we got to eat, man. We walk on 2 feet. We walk erect.
Right.
We drive cars. We figure out situations, man.
We're
the eaters.
We farmed off all of our nasty business of that kind to packing houses and slaughterhouses. And we don't see it. You know, in the old days, you had to, you know, rip the head off the animals and skin it and eat it right there.
I love eating animals. Damn, I love it.
South Korea, of course, they eat dogs. In fact, right now the lawmakers there are debating whether or not to re-legalize the eating of dogs in South Korea.
Sounds good, Buzz. I'd love a poodle sandwich.
Yeah, it had to be a poodle.
Didn't it? Well, sorry about that, Mike. Hold on, one more call. Let's go to a guy. Here's a guy in San Francisco right now. Hello, Rack.
Yeah, hey, Don and Mike, how you doing today?
Hello, Rack.
Yeah, I am a 32-dog-year-old Labrador, and really the whole crux behind this thing isn't so much, you know,
what did you just say?
Hold it.
What did you say? What did it mean? What was your joke? Explain your joke. What was
joke
that?
Is that he's going to pretend he's a
it's
dog.
It's the whole leash law thing now. So now the Rex, you know...
Wait, hold on.
Rex! It can determine whether or not he's to be on a leash now,
Rex,
I guess, right? Rex. Because I don't have enough dog in my front yard as it is.
I don't know what Rex's point was. I'm sorry. I had to cut him off.
Rex didn't want to listen.
I had to cut him off.
I didn't understand that whole thing. I'm a 32-year-old Doberman Pinscher or whatever the hell he was.
I think he was on your side, though.
I don't know.
It doesn't matter when you're not, you know, making your points clearly on this forum.
Right. On the stage of this fine city.
Bully pulpit with our powdered wigs.
Oh, would I die for a Cocker Spaniel on rye right now. That'd be so good with some Gouldens mustard.
Do dogs... I mean... Has anyone ever eaten dog?
I haven't.
In Asian cultures, they eat dog meat.
Yes, they do.
So it must have some property that maybe makes it a delicacy.
People must like it. In South Korea, the people believe that it not only makes you healthier, but that it increases a man's sexual prowess.
Give me a plate of dachshund.
Like oysters.
Oh, that's tasty.
Mm-hmm.
With some A1 sauce, please.
You know, we were eating crabs the
spicy
other night.
A1 sauce with Tabasco makes anything better. It really does. You ever had spicy A1?
Yes, we were eating crabs the other night, and I was ripping them apart. And actually, you know, you're taking the lungs off, and you're breaking the crab in two. You're taking off its little leg. And at one point, I was diving into this crab claw, and I looked at one of the steamed crabs and that little black eye that they have in the front. Uh-huh. I swear to God, it was looking right at me. And the whole, you know, just for a moment, I entertained the thought, you know, here it is. Here's a living creature. We're ripping it apart, and it's just kind of like
you still ate it, though, right?
Oh, chowed them down.
Did you eat the eye?
No. The eye doesn't taste good.
Right.
Makes it taste good.
Put some A1 on that eye. Make that eye mighty tasty. That's a good eye.
Ooh, that A1 sauce on crab.
Ooh. That's a good eye.
I use A1 on shrimp.
I used A1 the other night. My wife got so mad during dinner when she called me Jethro. Because mm-hmm. I put a little A1 on my steak,
mm-hmm.
and then we were having corn on the cob.
Right.
I just dabbed a little of corn on the cob in the A1.
I bet you were regular.
And then I put a little A1 on my broccoli.
Right.
And at that point, she hadn't said anything yet until my son reached for the A1, and she said, "What are you doing?" He says, "I want to put it on my corn and on my broccoli like Dad did." And then my wife went through the ceiling.
Really?
And she called me a redneck and called me Jethro Clampett and said...
You know that shrimp dish that we ate down in New Orleans, Louisiana?
Mm-hmm.
Remember the Louisiana barbecue shrimp?
Sure.
You can either use Worcestershire, but also you can use A1, and I've used it to make that sauce with A1. And so technically I use it on shrimp. You would think, I mean, when you think of that and shrimp, it'd be like, yeah, but A1, man, very versatile.
A1's good.
Very good.
Love A1. Robbie, go get me a big glass of A1. Right now. I'd love it. You want to take one more call on this?
Why not?
Are you getting bored with this? Let's take one more. One more. Here's Garrett, buddy. Hello, Garrett.
Yeah, Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy. I'm wondering about, I know you're trying to get the milk off of the cows. I'm wondering if the cow farmers are owners of animals.
Of course they are.
Well, that's what I think, too. I mean, otherwise we have them butchering these cows for our benefit. I know we can't butcher the dogs.
And of their own free will. They could go wherever they wanted.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. All kinds of animals are butchered.
They choose to be butchered.
The chickens stick around waiting for the guillotine.
That's right. Chickens want to be eaten.
That's right.
They want to be slaughtered.
They live to serve me.
Have you ever seen a chicken slaughtered?
Yes, I have, Mike. As a matter of fact, I have.
Pretty nasty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good show.
It's pretty amazing, too.
I saw it once in Wisconsin when I was a kid. My brother and I went to
a family farm.
Yeah, a farm, and they invited us in to watch.
They really do that running around thing.
They put a big show on.
Mm-hmm.
Said, "You want to come in and watch us slaughter a chicken?" We said, "Sure."
And I saw him slaughter a pig one time, too.
I'm just happy that
Donna... A single pig that the guy owned, that the farmer owned, and it was not pretty.
Okay, you're the winner there.
It was, and we were skinning it. And as we were skinning the pig, right at the end, it was like one of those reflex muscles in the pig's leg went in like that. And I went, yeah, very scary. I didn't. He asked again if I wanted to go down and do it. I never went back. I was reading a story the other day about a family. They had a pig on their farm, and they wanted to name it something so the kids wouldn't get too attached to it, and so the kids would understand that someday we're going to eat this pig.
Name it dinner.
No, they named the pig Spammy. And just as it was about time to slaughter Spammy and have him for dinner, they had a fire in their barn, and Spammy rescued the family dog from the fire.
And they kept him alive?
Spammy's life has been spared.
Is that a Bud Light commercial?
What a wonderful.
It's a lovely story.
Wonderful story. Thank you, Buzz.
Join Buzz again tomorrow, this time for another Hallmark moment.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Buzz.
You bet.
Okay, listen, enough about that.
Spammy.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I've got to tell you, today was just what I needed. Thanks a lot, Harry.
Bob, it was my pleasure, Mary.
So you'll pick me up tonight at 7:45?
Oh, well, no, I got a few things to take care of first, but why don't we make it 7:45?
Stop it.
Okay, 7:45.
The Don and Mike Show.
Is it the Don and Mike Show? You bet.
This is a moment. I know this is a moment that you have been waiting for your entire career.
Dick Van Dyke, right here. Hi, Dick.
Hi.
Now,
this is great. You've been hanging out here all day long, and we have heard that wonderful baritone all day long. And this man is going to give me a very hard time right now, and I want you to just be kind to me when
you
begin this.
Okay.
All right.
Shut up, you, and let me have my time.
All right, I will just shut up. I could actually take a walk if you want to.
We will talk about diagnosis murder in a second. I want to give you some background, okay? The Dick Van Dyke Show is the greatest television show ever, bar none.
Oh,
every episode, love it. I swear to God, I love that show, man. I know every episode. I love it. It's a classic.
Oh,
so,
great.
I cannot help but always commenting when I see something on TV on our show we talk about. I say, well, yeah, but it's not as good as Dick Van Dyke. And my wife will say to me, why do you watch Dick Van Dyke on Nick at Night? You've seen them all. And I say, because I know what it's going to be. I'm not going to be disappointed. This guy here, he says to me one day, Mike says, Dick Van Dyke is okay, but his brother Jerry is so much better.
Funnier.
Now,
yes.
I said funnier.
And what did you just say?
I've always said he was the funniest guy in the family.
He's being polite. He's patronizing you.
I have never once ever said to you that I didn't think the Dick Van Dyke Show is a great show, is a funny show.
Turn Mike's microphone off, would you please? Listen, I want to tell you something. We even have a giant wheel. You know, like Wheel of Fortune?
Yeah.
We have a big wooden wheel that somebody listens to us in Cleveland made, and it's the Wheel of Van Dyke.
We used to spin it on the show all the time.
You're kidding.
We had Dick and Jerry. It was the Wheel of Van Dyke.
You don't know how many times we argued about this.
We would constantly argue about this, I will stop and let you have your say, but then I must explain this to Mr. Van Dyke.
No amount of butt kissing will get you out of
here. I'm not butt kissing. I would always say, like, for example, if you went into at family gatherings.
I would say
when you're there with Jerry.
You can't compare Coach with the Dick Van Dyke Show. There is no comparison.
I am in a no-win situation. I just want to say I love your work. I'm a big fan, and it's great to have you here.
Listen, you should get some old tapes of our show, and you should hear the way that he disses you on our show.
Well, you know something? He's probably going to FedEx you the tape, so it doesn't matter.
So really what we have is a huge wheel, like one of those...
Yeah.
You know, and when we argue, and sometimes we argue seriously for an hour.
I actually got almost to fisticuffs one time.
We decided the only way to settle the argument is to spin the Wheel of Van Dyke and see which one of you guys would come up. And if it was Jerry, then I'd have to say, all right, today, Jerry's the funniest. And we would drop the argument and move on. This is something, Mr. Van Dyke, that has been brewing on our show for the longest time, and I want you to know, I'm the one that's on your side. I'm the one that loves Dick Van Dyke. I love everything Dick Van Dyke. I'm the one, you ask him if he's ever even watched Diagnosis Murder.
Yeah, I watched it.
Oh, you liar.
I watched it. It was a great episode.
He watched it one day.
I liked the episode when you were with the city councilman. That's
the only one he's ever seen.
That's one.
And I tell him that it takes a great man not only to do comedy, but to do musicals and to do dramatic television.
Do you realize that we have been jammering away here for, 5 minutes now?
Who cares?
Mr. Van Dyke hasn't been able to get a word in edgewise.
These are very important things.
Please get off this.
This is how most of our interviews go. These are important things that I have been waiting to say to Dick Van Dyke for my whole life.
I understand, man. I'm just going to sit here and take it.
Just let me tell you my favorite Dick Van Dyke episodes.
Which one?
Okay? I love the one where Rob has to stay up all night to play records.
The disc jockey.
Yeah, he's in a store. Of course, I love the one with Danny Thomas with all of the walnuts and stuff.
Yeah.
I also love the one where you sent Laura the package with a big inflatable thing. From the very beginning part, I love the one where you're having a nightmare and Laura's playing you like a marionette.
Yeah, he's not faking this. This is legit.
I know. He knows what he's talking about.
Listen, I love when Mel Cooley had the little ventriloquist dummy that looked like Mel Cooley. I even like, although it's not my favorite episode, I think it's the last one you did, the one where you did like a Western thing where Alan Brady was...
That was the last show.
That was the last absolute episode. Right?
Yeah. Everybody got to be in it. All the writers, all of our kids, everybody got to be in the show.
Are you scared of this man now?
No.
Is he brightening you in any way?
I'm just pretty intense, man. I really... You're the greatest. Dick Van Dyke, you're the greatest. I swear to God, Dick.
I'm glad I came here today. This is very good for me.
And listen, furthermore, I even watched that show you did with Hope Lang. The one where you were in Phoenix.
Yeah, out in Arizona,
The Dick Van Dyke Show. And now I watch you on Diagnosis Murder.
Let me ask this. Have you ever seen my brother in a nightclub?
Do we have to talk about
on
him?
On a stage?
Yes, Don. Mr. Van Dyke is talking. Do not interrupt him.
All right, let's talk about Jerry.
My brother is doesn't have the greatest material that you ever heard in your life. Mm-hmm. He is still the funniest man who ever stepped on a nightclub stage.
Mr. Van Dyke, thank you very much, and I hope you understand where I'm coming from.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you.
You won't be able to breathe.
Listen, he's
a born clown.
You are so much funnier than he is. You are so much funnier than your brother Jerry.
I do more different stuff.
You know, I do a lot of other stuff.
You're diverse, aren't you, Dave?
Yeah.
Yeah, you see?
This is great.
He's not perverse.
I want to say we've got a very gracious man handling all this today. Dick, this is very nice of you to help me out here.
I'm getting a little worked up here, but I am seriously so excited to meet you. When I travel, the first thing I check is to see if the hotel's got Nick at Night, because I got to see my Dick Van Dyke.
You gotta
and you know what?
He would watch Dick Van Dyke, the Dick Van Dyke Show, every single night. He would watch it 7 days a week. If it was on three times a day, he would watch it three times a day. We've been working together doing this show for 12 years. This has been 12 years. I mean, this is the single... You are the greatest man in America for this guy.
There's not a bad... The only maybe bad episode is that Western one. It's just because I don't dig Westerns. Every other episode of Dick Van Dyke, absolutely classic. You got the guy who came over to paint your house, and he ended up staying. The guy
Vito Scotti, yeah.
Yeah, right. And then you had the problem with Little Richie, and then you had the helpers next door, and when you were supposed to get all the tickets for the PTA, for the Alan Brady show, and you had you're standing up there at the last minute, you didn't know what to do. Man, I just love you, Dick Van Dyke.
It was the genius of Carl Reiner.
No, it was you.
The best comedy writer.
He was, of course, Alan Brady on the show.
Yeah.
And you didn't see a lot of Carl Reiner on the show, but he did. He was the genius as far as setting the whole thing up, doing a lot of the writing and all that.
It was his creation.
And the one where Laura says on the game show, when the game show guy gets her to say that Alan Brady's bald, great one. So anyway, listen, now that you know how much I love you and everything, and you know what else?
How are you? How you doing? You having fun today?
Good,
hold on, here's another great one.
I've been doing this series, see?
A little serious.
All right, we'll talk about that. One more great one, though. Rob's laying on the couch on a Saturday, and is like, your shirt's coming up on you, and you got all your freckles.
Oh, and they draw
like
the map.
Liberty
Bell. Yeah. The Liberty Bell, yeah.
Okay. All right, we'll talk about diagnosis.
How's diagnosis murder going?
I'm working with my son.
Yeah, and where is he? Is he around here tonight?
No, he's in Las Vegas. We went to see a ball game. His nephew is playing, is the quarterback for the Hawaii team now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Carrie, hot kid.
It's got to be great working with your son. That's got to be a lot of fun.
Oh, it's the whole reason for doing it. Mm-hmm. Gee, he made his debut on the Van Dyke Show as a 10-year-old playing the violin at an audition scene.
Oh, right. That's where you had like 1,000, everybody in the neighborhood. Is that the one where everybody...
No, this was down in the office for Buddy and Sally.
Oh, I remember that.
And he played the violin, and that was Barry at that time.
You know, you hear a lot of people that actually say, oh, boy, I would hate my kids to get involved in show business. I wouldn't want them to have anything to do with it. You obviously don't feel the same way.
Well, I neither encourage or discourage them.
He knows
what it's like. He was raised around it.
Right.
And evidently liked what he saw, so he decided to become an actor.
So now on Diagnosis Murder, when they came to you and said, we want you to do another show, at what point did you say, okay, and did you say, hey, I'd like to do something that maybe is not situation comedy?
It was kind of like the camel in the tent. It happened to me little by little.
Mm-hmm.
Viacom came and said, would you do the spinoff from Jake and the Fat Man about this doctor who's a amateur sleuth? And I said,
right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Never thinking that anything would come of it.
Right.
And then we did two or three movies of the week, and I said, well, that's okay. Thinking I took all my pensions and everything, and I was going to retire.
Right.
And then they said, we don't want to try one season of it. And I just didn't dream of this would happen. But it just keeps going.
You know what it is, Rick? You know, the show's okay. No offense to everybody on the show. It's you, man. I mean, I know that I know you think that I'm like a stalker or something. But I'm telling you.
You got him on that one.
It's you, Dick.
Do I have to worry about this guy?
I swear to God, just look over your right shoulder as you're walking to the car today, because he might be trailing you by about 10 feet.
Well, I don't do any falls or anything on the Diagnosis Murder, but it's a light murder mystery.
You did so much of that physical stuff earlier in your career. Did you ever really hurt yourself when you were doing all those?
I never hurt myself, but now I feel it.
Oh, you do, really?
A few little back problems here and there.
Right. And you were Mary Poppins, too, and Bye Bye Birdie, right?
Yeah.
Weren't you all those things, too?
Chitty Chitty Bang
He's
Bang.
So much more diverse than his brother Jerry. His brother Jerry is so limited, man.
I'm not saying anything. I'm not going to. You're not going to lure me into that silly argument here.
Dick,
you don't want to hear my brother sing.
He's a terrible singer. He's terrible singer.
You don't want to hear that.
And you know how great Dick is. Shim Shimmery, Shim Shimmery, Shim Shimmery.
No, but he is. He's my favorite comedian, my brother. He makes me laugh.
Did you hear that?
You're killing me by saying that.
And all I have to do...
But he can't sing, he can't dance. You know, he doesn't do
I just
anything.
Have to sit here silently. I just have to sit here silently.
If you know how many times we spun that stupid wheel.
Do we still have that wheel?
Yeah, we do.
The little knob broke off and we still have the thing in our office.
All right, a diagnosis murder. Oh, I don't want to ask you about diagnosis murder.
What?
You're having all these people on, like, Adam 12 is going to be on, right?
We had those guys. We had him on...
And Angie Dickinson, wasn't she just on one last weekend?
Kent McCord and Marty Milner.
Right.
Fred Dreyer we had on, and we got Bob Stack is our villain next week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so much fun. We bring all these guys back.
And you're still enjoying it?
Yeah.
It's still fresh for you? You still like getting up? Crack of dawn every morning,
a lot of difference to my age. They don't make me work that hard.
How old are you, man? Can I answer that?
I'll be 72.
Polite golf applause. Then.
Yay, let's hear it.
72.
For just having lasted that long.
And you got to have, like, all the money in the world, right?
No, I haven't got all
you
the
don't.
Money. You don't. Bill Gates has got all the money in the world. I just have a little piece of it.
And what do you do when you do get free time from the show, what do you do for fun?
I am a computer nerd.
Oh, really?
I do CG animation effects and mm-hmm. blue screen and all that. That's my hobby.
Maybe we could email each other.
Yeah.
Oh, you'd like that, wouldn't you?
I'm on the net, yeah.
Yeah, that's his way of talking. You watch out. Be very careful, Dick.
You got to watch who you meet on that net.
Absolutely.
Boy.
Here's another great one, though. Laura tells you not to go skiing. She says, don't go skiing, you're going to hurt yourself. He goes and he breaks every bone in his body, but then when Rob comes home, he has to walk around like this so Laura doesn't know that he hurt himself.
Have you ever met a big... I know you know, I'm sure you've met
no,
many,
I've never
many
met
fans.
A bigger fan.
He's the biggest. This is legit.
I love that show. I love... And in the first season, your intro, the music was not quite the same. They had like... it went... Bum, bada, 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 bum, bada, 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 bum, and they
I remember.
Oh, how can you... You were in the show. How can you not remember that?
He remembers things I don't remember.
I love that. I love you. Dick Van Dyke, you're the best of the Van Dyke boys. I don't care what anybody else says. He is the man.
And after this interview, I'm inclined to agree. You're fantastic, and you're a very gracious man, and I know this is probably one of the more interesting interviews you've done today, I would
say. I'm going to have my brother call you just so you can interview him.
I appreciate that.
He would love to do that.
I think equal time is definitely
it's only fair.
Right.
Right. Final question, Dick. Can we have dinner tonight? No, is that? I mean,
I'm in trouble. I'm in deep trouble.
He's looking at me. He's looking at me.
Dick Van Dyke.
To meet you. Thanks for coming on the show.
Look at that.
Building up my ego.
Thank you very much. Thanks a lot.
Pleasure.
I love that guy.
That was fantastic. And man, your brain went into overdrive with the recitation.
Oh, and what about when you bought a tarantula? He bought a race car. He bought a sports car, and Laura took it out, and Laura had got a wreck with it, and didn't tell him about it. Then he thought he did it himself when he drove
Dick
it.
Dick Van Dyke is now just standing back from the table, looking at you like you ought to be put into some kind of institution.
I love that show.
Don't leave, Dick. Spend the rest of the weekend with us, man.
Stay in. Oh yeah. Hey, come here. Let's get our picture taken.
Yeah, we have to get.
Yeah, picture. Picture.
I want to do this
all right
here, though.
Hold on. We have to get the picture taken. Whoop.
Hello, and here we go.
Got to get a shot here.
Come on.
Wait, I got hung up here. All right.
Have you ever heard of the Walnut Times? It's the fan club of the old show called the Walnut.
Oh, really?
Okay. They put out a paper quarterly.
Here's a picture, and that's right. It's us with Dick Van Dyke.
Fantastic.
Dick Van Dyke.
We just had the picture. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dick.
On the air.
On the air.
He's very scary. All right.
Wow.
All right.
Here we go.
Wow. Oh, yeah, baby, yeah.
Oh, that was fantastic. I admire his honesty.
Oh, shut up.
Listen, what is he going to say?
I know.
What is he going to say? My brother is a total loser?
It's his brother, man. Dick, you know how happening you are.
He's the best. He was really, that was a lot of fun, and I think he appreciated the fact that he was looking at you a couple of times that when you got into that 70th or 80th episode that you were talking about.
I love them all, man.
I know you do. You've been doing that for years and years and years. That's been your favorite TV show, and he was here today. And
I just want to watch him. I just want to look at him.
He was nice enough that was not as painful as I had anticipated it would be.
I just want to look at him. I know Robert Stack is ready in a second. Oh, could I get that coffee cup? The coffee cup Dick's using.
Is he done with it? Dick, are you done with that? Are you finished with that coffee? Because Dom wants the coffee cup.
Forget your brother. Can I have the cup?
All right. You can have the cup.
Oh, thank you.
He's going to say that.
I'm going to have my brother call.
That's it. No need to sign it, Rob.
No, he's just going to keep
Dick's lips were up against his cup, man. What do I need him to sign it for goodness sake?
Your biggest fan.
And Dick, I didn't even mind the episodes where you let Jerry come on. You know, where Jerry had, like, amnesia.
Oh, God, that was great.
Dick Van Dyke.
Oh, the Dick? Legendary Dick Van Dyke
Dick
on our show
Van
today.
Dick Van freaking Dyke. I really love that guy. I love him. I love
you
him.
You could, I can't even tell.
I love him more than those Star Trek guys. I really do.
I know you do.
Left the room yet.
We've done a lot of interviews. I'll tell you right now, I have never seen you react like this.
Oh,
are you okay? Do you want to go to the men's room?
I'm sitting down because I'm real nooks. I am so into Dick Van Dyke.
You know, you didn't ask the question that I wanted you to ask more than anything else.
What?
Does he work out?
Look at him.
Of course.
Constantly works out.
Three and four times a day.
Dick Van Dyke is
a class
buff.
Act, though, really. I mean, you know, he's done, a million of these interviews today, and he's really a class act.
Nobody's like that. I guarantee you that.
I know.
I am so into Dick Van Dyke, I could interview him all over again.
That was simply fantastic. You're looking at his butt as he's walking on.
What are you doing here? I'm looking at Major Dad.
Yeah, Gerald McCraney's here?
Yeah, Major Dad's here.
Cool.
Oh, wow. You think you want to answer questions about Delta?
Oh, God, I don't know.
I'm off the Dick Van Patten kick now. Now I'm on my Major Dad kick.
Wow.
Okay, let's do a break.
Robert Stack is sitting across the way, too. He's going to be joining us, too.
Who?
Robert.
They're all who to me now. Here is Jerry Van Dyke, everybody. Yeah.
Hello, Jerry.
Hey, gang, how you doing?
How's it going?
Well, great. Great, as a matter of fact. I've been trying to get a hold of you guys. My brother, who has lost it, told me you were on in the mornings.
No.
And I didn't call. I get up out there at 7 o'clock, and that's, I figured you were over. So I waited until I got to the East Coast, and I find out you're on in the afternoon.
You know what? I bet we went out there to do a bunch of shows with morning disc jockeys who were taping them for next day broadcast. We were the only guys that were doing a live show in the afternoon.
So you taped him in the morning. Did you tape him in the morning?
No, we were live with him. It was in the afternoon, but the other disc jockeys taped him to play the next morning on their show.
Now, did he call you and tell you about
it? He called me, and he told me to call you guys. Gave me the number, and he said, it's a morning show. And I said, bye, guys. I'm going to get up early. So I was coming to New York, and I thought, well, I'll do it when I get to New York.
Well, listen.
I find out you're on the afternoon. But you're on. That's what counts.
Did your brother tell you about the Wheel of Van Dyke?
Well, I already knew about that. I had heard about that.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah. You guys are. Your reputation is... We're far ahead of you.
Well, let me just take this opportunity to say, sir, that I believe you are a god. You are a comedy god.
Now, this got to be Mike.
This is Mike.
That's right.
That's right, Jerry.
Well, see, now, when you're having this dispute, what I always wanted to know is, are you talking about the 60s or are you talking about the 90s? No matter what I do, you watch Diagnosis Murder, everybody's funny.
That is cold.
Well, yeah. Well, he does. I don't think he thinks he's being very funny. He's making me laugh. I can't hear him. I said, you're talking too low, Dick.
I just
talked to him the other day. As a matter of fact, I was talking to him, you know, about your show, and we got to talking. I said, I want to ask you something that people have asked me for years. I said, are we close? I swear, I never really asked him. People ask me that. I said, I don't know. Are we close? And he says, yeah. And I said, well, how come I never see you then? And he says, well, emotionally, we're close emotionally.
Yeah. That's good. And, you know, I got that impression when we talked to Dick Van Dyke that you do have a close relationship with him.
Well, I guess I'm close to him about anybody. I never see him. He's a loner. He really is.
You kind of
tried to pull him out of his shell for years. I said, could you emotionally loan me a couple of $100,000?
It pains me to say this, Jerry. This is Don. You're a lot funnier in this segment than your brother was on our show.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, there's no doubt it's funniest. He got older and lost some funny, and I got it back.
There you go. And
you get old. But, I mean, I don't know how he can do that. I can't possibly be serious like that. He does it every week.
Yeah, you know what that is? That's because your brother is multi-talented.
So, is that what you call it?
Yes, that's right, Jerry.
No, I didn't know that. I thought we were talking funny. I don't know if I'm straight.
Listen,
all he's doing, I said, Dick, all you're doing is talking lower.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
And you don't have the writing you used to have.
Oh, no, listen, let's talk about your brother. Let's talk about Chim Chimmery, Chim Chimmery, Chim Chim Chiri.
Yeah, no, that's funny.
All right, Jerry, you're making me pull out the heavy artillery now.
Hey, you know that I'm on a new series.
Oh, hold on. I'm playing your theme
from my
Mother the Car.
Oh.
This is a show that Jerry Van Dyke was in where his mom was reincarnated as like an old Model T Ford.
Yeah, do you know how many seasons that thing lasted?
How many episodes, you mean?
One season, just barely one season. I don't know how people remember. You do something bad, it follows you on the rest of your life.
All right, so what is your new show, Jerry?
I went to a guest shot on the third show, and they put me maybe a regular. I started last Friday, and it's on again tonight at 9.
That is because anywhere this man goes, he brings something to the show where he injects his comedy into the show. I've said this all along, and now You Wish will probably become a hit because you are on the show.
That's what they're hoping. I'm a 50,000-year-old genie.
You know what it is? People look in the TV guide, and they say Van Dyke, and they think it must be Dick.
Well, they got it. Stop that.
You know, I'll tell you this, Jerry. I know you probably don't want to hear this. When you were on your brother's show, when you played the brother, when you played Stacy.
Yeah, I had auditioned for that.
Yeah, now that.
Wow. The audition to play the part of his brother.
That was good. That was good. That was.
Those were great shows. Those were great shows. He had great writing back then. The best writing ever been on television.
That was really one of the great shows of television.
But there's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. It was on 5 years. Ask me how long Coach has been on.
He's been
nine.
But well, that wasn't called nine. The Luther Show, was it?
Yes, it was. You just yes. I'd rather be a supporting guy and go twice as long. They all quit that show. They're going to be movie stars. Now, I almost made it.
Now what was what was the last time you actually saw your brother, Jerry?
Well, I actually saw him. I don't ever see him. We talked on the phone just the other day.
Oh, that's great.
But I don't see him. He lives out in Malibu, and I live the valley. So I don't ever see him. He's a loner. So we talk on the phone, and I just told him the other day, Mom died.
Oh. Listen, now you're endearing yourself to me with a shock humor. I like the death humor.
We don't see each other too much because he's into the computer stuff and everything. I'm at the airport. That's not my wife yelling over my shoulder. Airport.
So where you're in New York now?
I got in New York and I'm headed back to L.A. I got in here yesterday and I did the promotion for the show, and I'm going back.
And You Wish is the show, and you're a 50,000-year-old genius.
50-year-old genius. Luther on a magic carpet is what it is.
ABC. Well, it sounds dreamy. Not quite as good as your brother's show. But...
Hey, Mike, can I talk to Mike?
Yeah, hi, I'm over here, Jerry.
Mike, thank you. You're just laughing. You got to support me here.
I do. I'm laughing.
Do you still have the wheel?
Yes, we do.
We have the wheel. We haven't brought it out in a while, but let me tell you something. For a while, it was a daily occurrence. We would spin the wheel of Van Dyke with Jerry and Dick.
I love it. I heard about it all everywhere I went. People told me about it.
And I mean you no disrespect. I like you fine. It's just I like your brother a little better, and I think Mike feels the opposite.
I feel the same way. I've always liked Jerry
You're
more.
Not talking about diagnosis murder, are you? You can't compare me now with what he did 50,000 years ago.
All right, Jerry, you're going to make me say, your brother, I'm going to say it again, is multi-talented. The man can do drama.
Do you watch Diagnosis Murder? Please answer me that.
All right, no, I don't.
Okay.
All right, of course. I don't.
Sad.
Nobody watches Diagnosis.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, man.
They do, but they're all 89 years old.
Oh, this is a surprise. You know, I really thought that Jerry was going to come on here and take the same tack that Dick said.
What did he think? I love Jerry.
He actually said
you were funnier.
Your brother, because he's so successful and humble, he said, no, my brother Jerry is much funnier.
I like to think he was being honest.
He has taste. He knows. He knows. Who played straight on the Dick Van Dyke show? I keep asking.
Yeah.
I always wanted to do something together, seriously, with Dick. For years, I wanted to do The Odd Couple. I couldn't get him to do it.
You know, I think he had a career happening.
No, that was afterward. He wasn't doing anything. Now we're too old to do The Sunshine Boys. I said we could both be funny. He always thought he had to play straight for me.
Let me just ask you right now, once and for all, on the record.
That's right, because we had your brother go on the record, and we need you to go on the record.
Jerry Van Dyke, who is funnier, you or your brother Dick Van Dyke?
Well, it depends on the era.
I can't say. In the 60s, he was funnier. Now I'm funnier.
I didn't expect that. Right. I did not expect that. That was a very diplomatic answer. And you know something? Your brother was just as gracious about you. I'm very happy about that.
We're big fans of each other. There's no doubt about it. Huge fans. There's no sibling rivalry.
We will continue to spin the wheel vigorously. And, Jerry, we hope that someday we will be able to get you in here and eyeball you in person.
Hey, that's a deal. We'll do it for sure.
Yeah, anytime you come to Washington, please come to the studio. We'd love to meet you.
Thank you.
All right, Jerry.
I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for calling us up, Jerry.
Thanks for taking time to talk to me. Don't forget tonight.
Oh, you got it.
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock.
Be sure and watch. Maybe you'll change your opinion.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye, Jerry.
There he goes.
Oh, that was great.
Well, I believe enough has been said. Jerry Van Dyke. Funny man. Funny man, Jerry.
You know what? I didn't want to say to her. You know what he is?
What are you going to say?
He's the new Belky. All right? You know that guy? Don't be ridiculous. He's like the new Urkel. Good luck to him. He's nothing. He's nothing like his brother Dick.
Oh, wow.
Dick's the man.
I know.
Although Jerry was, you know.
Yeah, he was pretty good. Yeah.
He was kind of funny.
He was kind of funny on the show today.
He's kind of funny.
It was great to have
him. I'm just in a real good mood. That's why I laughed.
I did not expect that. I didn't. I was not. Even though I say he's funny all the time, I wasn't expecting him to do that.
Because
on the
best part of that is that Dick Van Dyke picked up the phone,
called him, and said,
called Jerry Van Dyke to say, listen, yeah. I met these two idiots who argue about which one of us is funny.
You know, I seriously think when they're together, I would love to make it our quest to get both those guys to come down here and be in the studio together.
The second half of the Van Dyke story.
Wow. The great Jerry Van Dyke.
The all right Jerry Van Dyke. Called us from an airport, schlepping around while his brother lives in Malibu. Did you catch that? His brother lives in Malibu. Jerry lives in the valley.
But the valley's always been funnier than Malibu.
He will be. Oh, God. Johnny lives in Malibu.
Hi-oh.
Hi-oh. Well, our thanks to Jerry Van Dyke.
That was fantastic.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, the muffler plant's gone too.
Yep.
Oh, come on, damn it. Oh, that sounds good. Melt the chocolate inside the dash. That really ups the resale value.
I think you're going to be okay here. They have a thin candy shell. Surprised you didn't know that.
I think your brain has a thick candy shell.
Your brain has the shell on it.
Are you talking?
Shut up, Rick.
The Don and Mike Show. Broadcasting live from downtown Dumbass, the Don and Mike Show.
All right, we just got done with a very handsome Mark Harmon.
That was fantastic, and I will never forget the end of that interview as Mr. Harmon planted one firmly on your forehead.
Yeah, baby. And now we have a second in between celebrity interviews. We're going to walk around and see what some of the other DJs are doing here today.
Our DJ brothers and sisters are here at the CBS Premier Radio Party.
And now we have to talk quietly because there are all these disc jockeys who are like really doing important stuff.
They're working, reading bios.
All right, now there's Ed Begley. And listen, he's doing liners.
Calling Kathy Goldberg for helpful hints. She's on 93 XRT Radio Chicago.
She's doing a promo.
This is Begley Jr. I play a doctor on TV while Frank E. Lee plays music on XRT.
We never made him do that, did we?
Yeah, we were nicer to him than that. We really were. I know you would have.
Well, I know you. Oh,
we're not going to take advantage of you like that. We're better professionals than that.
And look, it's on it. Now, is this your laptop, Ed, or their laptop?
Yes, we got dueling laptops.
That's your laptop?
We've got dueling hard drives.
We've got roving radio geeks.
Excuse me.
All right, we'll get out of your hair. All right. Just
bye
fill
bye.
A little time.
Bye
okay.
bye,
Chicago, Miss Attitude.
WDYKE. All right, now let's see here. Now,
this is WVE in Atlanta.
Oh, a lady disc jockey.
And a lady disc jockey who is enjoying a very nice lunch. What's that little pasta you're having? A
lot of pasta.
How is it?
It's delicious.
What's your name?
Carol Blackman, V103. Radio in Atlanta. Who are you guys?
Never mind with that.
No.
That's not important. That's not important.
Who are you?
Now she's very intense with us. Right. We're down to Mike.
Hi.
Mike, from where?
From hell. Who was the nicest celebrity you interviewed today?
Let's see. Jane Seymour was great.
Who was the worst? For my money, it was that Major Dad guy.
Ooh, get out of here.
Do you work out?
You guys don't play fair.
Do you work out?
Yeah, I
you
do.
Look like you.
You guys
are
nice to me.
Can you flex your bicep for
you
us, please?
For this?
Just, yes, yes.
This is good for radio.
Well, I don't care.
See this on radio.
That's
right?
All right. You can create the picture. Go ahead. Look at that.
Look
arm.
At that. You know, I bet I would like to see her arm wrestle Rob Spiewak.
Would you mind our assistant producer? Would you mind trying to arm wrestle him?
Bring him over here.
All right,
hey, Rob. Hey, Rob.
Come on over here, Rob.
Now, what do you do? Are you the morning disc jockey?
I'm one of the co-hosts of the morning show, yes. Of Mike and Carol in the morning, yeah!
And they actually let a woman do a morning show?
Oh!
What do you do? What do you do? What do you do, like, cooking tips and stuff like that?
Oh, what is your name again? Mud what?
His name is Jack Diamond.
I'm Diamond in the morning.
Diamond
now,
in the rough.
Bert. All right.
This is Rob, and he's one of our producers.
This is Rob. This woman is going to arm wrestle you, Rob.
Okay,
I'm really screwed.
Okay. My money is on her.
Oh, absolutely. I'll fight.
All right.
Rob, listen to this. She does a morning show. A lady does a morning show.
Lady right. In the morning?
Yeah.
Okay. Hi, now you're one of the CBS people here?
Yes, I am.
We're having an arm wrestling match between our assistant producer and this woman right here.
This will take one second, Ed.
Ed, would you like to watch the arm wrestling match between Rob?
And who would you bet on here? Would you bet on this lady disc jockey, very nice, or would you...
This woman's in good shape now.
And now here's
this
the...
This woman's cut like a diamond. She's got some muscle tone here.
Yeah, and...
Cut like a diamond.
And cut like
is,
a diamond.
This is Rob Spiewak.
Rob, he's in pretty good shape, too. I don't know how I want to call this, but I'm...
Okay, that was a lie, but that's okay. Right. That'll be all fine. Right. Now,
elbow
Rob
on
is
the
going
table,
to...
please.
Now, what's your first name again?
Carol
and Rob are going to arm wrestle. We're going to have it right here on our show.
Now, really try, Rob.
Here we go.
Remember, the last time I lost to a girl, it was an American.
All right,
writer.
Here we go.
Now, listen,
all right, this is the way they do. This
joke,
is the way they do
I'll
it.
Do this real.
When I let go, I'm going to count to three. Let go of your hands, and we want the arm wrestling to begin. Don't cheat.
Don't cheat.
Are you
cheat?
Carol, you ready?
I'm ready.
Rob, are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
Really? You must just do the traffic.
Ed,
right?
Are you ready?
Oh,
I'm ready.
I'm not
Ed's ready.
You right
one,
now.
Two, three, go.
Hold on. She's holding onto the table.
All right, here we go. And
Rob, come on, Rob. Do it, Rob. Do it, Rob.
Just what?
It's not easy.
Are you talking about
yeah.
us?
Yeah. Hey, Rob Spiewak.
Rob beat her. He beat her.
Okay. Come on, Diamond.
Did you see our assistant producer?
Right,
he just won
it.
the arm wrestling match.
She wants to arm wrestle me now, Jack
okay.
Diamond.
One more arm wrestling match. Here we go. Ed, do you want to arm wrestle anyone?
I'm going to kick your stomach. You're really in trouble.
All right. It's Carol against Don right now on the count of three.
That's all muscle, huh?
Are you ready, guys? One,
two,
three, go.
I beat you in my sleep. You want me to beat you now or make it so? Here, I'll make it like you're going to win. Oh, but that's the last minute. Oh, no. Wait, no. Hey, now that's all right. There's nothing wrong with being touched.
Thank you, Carol. You're a good sport.
Nice meeting.
Likewise.
Now enjoy your lunch. Thank you for letting us interrupt your lunch there. That
was
a very nice
have a lady doing a morning show.
Get out of here.
WVEE in Atlanta.
Like, how backwards is that?
Yeah.
Hey, it's progressive, Don.
All right, nice meeting you.
Likewise. Thank you.
Nice meeting you.
Boy, I tell you, she does work out.
All right.
Now we're making our way back to our broadcast site.
All right, now here's the guy from Murphy Brown. I'd like to get him on the show. Oh, and here's Gerald McCraney's publicist again.
Hello.
I saw what you were doing with that lady there. That's very questionable.
Yeah, we do a lot of questionable things.
Well, we try.
Kind of gets us the ratings.
And here's my boyfriend.
Yes.
Mark Harmon. Now he's doing an interview with Today's Country 100.3.
I guarantee you that when he's finished with this interview, he's not going to kiss that host on the forehead like he kissed you. This is our walking tour of the broadcast site as we check out our DJ brethren.
Hi, Mark.
Yes, they're noticing us.
Now the disc jockey from Cleveland is all pissed because we ruined this beautiful interview.
And I will tell you something right now. The CBS folks are a little nervous at our wandering minstrel show here.
Yeah.
Little edgy with us just wandering around. Hey, that lady Carol from Atlanta was cool.
Yeah.
Oh, so here we are back now comfortably in our broadcast site.
And have you noticed that they have us all, I guess you have noticed, that they have us all the way in the very
of course.
Back of the building?
If they could put us in the restroom, they would.
You know what I'd love to do? Rob, where's that studio that you and I were walking in before where the lady said it's a Tom Snyder show?
Right out here. I'll come here.
All right, let's go back. Come on. Let's go out there. I know we just had a grueling walk through the hallways.
We're now making our way out of the little radio area.
Again. All right, now we're going to go to where Tom Snyder does his show.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, what is this exactly that we're visiting here?
Excuse me. Okay.
Where are we going now?
We're going out this way, Mike. Go out this door and make a right-hand turn.
All right, I'm following Rob. Very good.
when Rob and I were walking around before, we stumbled into this studio, and the lady said, it's Tom Snyder's studio, and she welcomed us in, right?
Yeah, she wanted us to come in.
All right, this is good. This is a real behind-the-scenes.
So now here's the sound of a real big CBS fan.
And that's not like somebody who likes
Luke,
the shows. That's actually...
I am your father!
It's a very neat effect. Let's go in.
I just made that up, Mike. I never saw that in a movie or anything.
That's pretty good. And that is a big fan. And you mean a real fan, an electric fan.
Now we're in a studio in a control room.
Oh, this is so cool.
See?
This is where it all happens.
Here's something in here. What's going on in here?
Hold on.
Hey.
Some serious camouflage. It's called cryptic coloration.
This looks very dull.
See if you can find a horn frog waiting patiently for some...
Hey, that's Jack Hanna.
Change of chat.
Passive hunters and camouflage so perfectly. They're called...
What a boring show this is, lady. What show is this we're watching here?
That's Jack Hanna.
What is the show?
This is actually the Tom Snyder stage, but I'm just watching television.
Now, where does Tom do his show from? Right over here? Can we take a look?
Absolutely.
All
right.
Okay.
And what's your name, ma'am?
I'm Brenda Holmes.
Hi, Brenda.
Brenda. I'm the head electrician on the show, but right now, today, I am babysitting the radio show.
Tom Snyder seems like he'd be a pretty cool guy to work with. Is he a nice guy?
He's an incredibly nice guy, and he sets the tone for the whole show. The production company is the nicest one I've ever worked for.
Wow. Does he work out?
He walks every day.
That's good. So do I. All right.
Is this Tom's chair?
Oh, this is so cool.
Oh, my. Here we go. So this is what it's like, huh?
This is where Tom...
I'm sitting in Tom Snyder's chair right now.
Tom talks to America just like this.
Whatever that dumb
There's
laugh is.
Set. There's the Late Show with Tom Snyder in the background.
The Late Show.
The Late Late Snyder. Show. And, she's putting
she
the lights on.
She turned the lights on.
This lady is very cool. This is very nice.
Rob, go grab a camera. Go make yourself useful, Rob.
This is great. How does it feel to be in the position of power? Is that a little spittoon? Are those breath mints for Tom? Does he use those on the show?
Yes, Tom is really into breath mints. And
does Tom take his breath mints out of it? This looks like an ashtray.
It's actually a spittoon.
Oh. Has Tom spit in here?
He spits his mints in there every night.
Oh. Are you telling me that these are mints that have been in Tom Snyder's mouth? Not anymore.
Oh, no.
They are a souvenir for me.
Oh, God.
Oh, look at this. He doesn't even hardly chew on them at all.
So he doesn't like to finish them, right?
I don't think he has time.
Oh, he's a very busy man, so he doesn't keep the mints in the mouth. All right, now here's the ultimate challenge.
Yes.
I would like to see you put... He has eaten one.
Oh,
you know what?
Gross.
It tastes like Tom.
It tastes like Tom.
It really
tastes
like
Tom. That's
hey, Rob,
fantastic.
Would you like a mint?
Pop one of those in your mouth. That's actually
like Tom.
It's been in Tom's mouth.
All right, now let's get our picture taken here. Rob brought the camera.
Would you like to be in the picture?
Oh, all right. You sit in the chair.
Sit in the chair.
Sit in Tom's chair here.
All right, here we go.
Oh, we
no, can't do that. Can't do that. Can't take the cover off the chair. All right.
Oh, you know what? We can't take a picture here. I forgot.
Why?
Oh, it's illegal?
Yeah, but we can take a picture over there. Oh,
take a picture over here. Okay.
All right.
CBS rules, you know.
Man, these mints taste like cheese.
Little brie flavored. All right, here we go. We're
Very
the picture.
And here's our picture. And
hello.
And say breath mint.
Fantastic.
Hey,
what a nice
you.
Set.
You're very welcome.
Nice meeting you.
We are on the set of the Late Late Show with Tom Snyder.
And now when I watch Tom Snyder's show, oh, can I have those mints back?
He'll Thank be eating you. Them for the rest of the evening.
Now when I watch the show, I'll look for the spittoon that Tom Snyder throws his used mints into.
And you'll know that you actually had one of those. Will you be sure and tell Tom that Don ate one of his mints that had been used?
We actually had him on our show. I bet he would remember us. He screwed our names up. Our names are Don and Mike.
Yeah. Don and Mike.
Yeah, he talked about us on the show one night because he did a bunch of interviews with radio
really,
stations.
Really, he did.
Okay. And he talked about us at the beginning of the show.
I'll tell him that Very good. You had some of his mints.
Don and Mike from Washington, D.C. You might have remembered when he spoke about us. Yes. We were his favorites, don't you know.
Yeah, Mark Harmon kissed me today, too.
That's right.
So it was a pretty big day. Mark Harmon kissed me, and I got to eat Tom Snyder's. I can't believe I ate Tom Snyder's
and don't forget,
used mints.
Don't forget. Well, I challenge you to do that. And don't forget about Dick Van Dyke.
Oh, yeah. Well, I didn't get to touch him, though.
All right, we're walking by the electric fan. Because when you said that's the CBS
Eat
fan.
Eat my mints! That is the official CBS fan.
All right.
What? We should break. But why? We're having such fun.
Well, the time just got away from us, Dom, when we were eating Tom's mints.
All right, a quick break, and we'll be right back.
This.
and welcome back, everybody. I'm Tom. We're back on live tonight, so the toll-free is up and running, and the color cast is on the air now for the 12th of November, 1997, CBS Radio and Television here in Los Angeles, California. You know, if today, if we were living in the year 1913, today's date would be 11-12-13, but we're not, so it ain't. Anyway, today I did a little thing called the Satellite Radio Tour, where Tom talks with guys and gals on different radio talk programs around the country. And I was chatting with Mike O'Mara and Don Geronimo from WJFK FM in Washington, D.C. And their motto there, by the way, is WJFK, less BS. So I'm sure that Jack Kennedy up in heaven is saying, well, it's the station with less BS. And I had an email that ties in with Don and Mike in Washington. A lady wrote in here, a family room, they said, you know, Tom, every night we see you at the show there, you open the show with the wide shot, and we see the gold vase at the base of your chair. For heaven's sake, what is the gold vase? Actually, the gold vase is a spittoon. And what's in here, you see, I take a little breath mint between the office and coming down here to the studio, just in case I want to plant one on a female guest, you know what I mean? And then right before the show starts, because it's not polite to talk with mints in your mouth, we have what is called mint spit, in which I spit a mint into the spittoon. See, the... So one day, this guy, Geronimo, and Mike are in here from WJFK. They came out for the big primetime tour, where they got to talk with the CBS stars, and the lady who gave them the tour, they said, would you like to see Snyder's studio? And I said, well, we'd like to see, yeah, where he does the show from. They come in, and they come over here, and they see the old mint spit. And one of them says they took a handful of these and put them in their pocket and were passing them out on the plane. Oh, jeez. Strange things on the radio from WJFK, where there's Lash B.S.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Give me the Jerry Van Dyke part. Artie,
would it be okay if I told this very humorous anecdote about the construction of the restaurant on the show tonight?
Absolutely not.
No, come on. I'm not going to mention the address.
No. Did I say Jerry Van Dyke? I mean Joan Van Ark.
Artie, I need to talk to your mono.
No.
Yes,
no.
Look at me. Now, will you just look at me?
Don't push me, Hank. Ignore him. Keep working.
The Don and Mike Show.
Ready to pick you up and shake you in a figure eight. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Do you hear me?
Hello.
Hey.
Hi, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
I was listening in the car, and I just got home, and my wife was bought in the Cosmopolitan.
She had bought in it?
Yeah.
She had bought in?
Bought.
Will you spell that word, please?
She had went out and gotten it.
She had went out and gotten
it. And
well,
gotten
that
it.
Fixed it.
Oh, God.
Were you raised in an English-speaking household?
Yes,
she bought it, and then she went out and had gotten it.
She had went out and gotten it. So, yes, sir.
Elizabeth Turley is on the cover.
She had went out and gotten it.
Yes?
Elizabeth Turley is on the cover.
Ah, well, she kind of looks like that Yasmin Bleach.
She's a fetching woman.
She's all right. That's Hugh Grant's girlfriend, right?
Yes. Yeah. She's all right. You're not a big fan of hers?
Mm-mm.
She's British, right?
Yes. Bad teeth.
She has very nice teeth, though. I've seen her smile.
Fake. Anybody from England who has good teeth, they've got fake teeth.
Because of that lack of fluoride over there.
You know who's really got bad teeth? Is the coach of the Denver Broncos. Good chance for us to give a shout-out to everybody listening to our show in Denver on Ralph Radio.
Yeah, Ralph.
They had a shot of that guy before the Monday night game last night with Lynn Swan. You know, poor Lynn Swan,
yeah,
who is definitely the token member, and I'm not talking about race, I'm just saying... He's the token guy, the former athlete on the field for Monday Night Football.
He's the token jock.
The guy who has absolutely nothing to do.
Right.
Nothing to do. Here's his whole thing. Before the game, they let him talk to the coach.
Yeah, it's kind of a contract requirement that one of the coaches has to give 2 minutes to Lynn Swan immediately before kickoff.
And then the same thing right at the end of the first half.
Right.
Lynn Swan. So, coach, what do you think is going to happen?
I guess I'm done.
Well...
Oh, no.
He didn't want it. He was going back to work on his grammar.
Oh.
Oh, no.
For goodness sakes. He made me forget what I was going to say about Lynn Swann.
You were going to talk about Lynn Swann, but then you were going to move on to the Denver Broncos coach's teeth.
Thank you. He is interviewing the guy for the Broncos, and this guy has got teeth. I mean, bigger and phonier than Ed McMahon's.
Oh, really?
Bigger and phonier than Regis Philbin's.
Piano keys.
I mean, huge and so unnatural.
So teeth you could do scrimshaw on, is that right?
Yes. Hello?
Yes.
What is scrimshaw?
Scrimshaw is what they used to do with the ivory taken from whales, and they do nice elaborate designs of ships and sell it. Big, huge pieces of ivory.
Tiny engravings.
Tiny engravings on them.
Yeah, you could draw a boat on his teeth.
Sure.
Yeah, it's a big teeth, man. Hello?
Yes.
Don and Mike Show.
Don?
Yeah.
Mike?
Yeah.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Well, I guess you already got the premises of what I wanted to talk about.
The premises?
What is the premises of what you were going to talk about? Do you mean the premise?
Yeah.
Premises would be like somewhere you're at.
Absolutely.
You're on the premises.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, Don, we'll just put it in that point.
All right, hello.
Well, you've already made fun of Lynchburg, Virginia before.
Well, I wonder why.
What have I said about Lynchburg, Virginia?
Well, let's see. You, Mike said Falwell, and it's Jerry Falwell. Oh, it's not Falwell.
That's based on all foul, deaf spirits come out.
Listen, are you another one of these hicks that's calling to defend the town that our show goes to?
Let me tell you what, buddy. I was living in Chicago for 7.5 years before you ever showed up there.
Yeah, so what?
Well,
I lived a lot of places, so what?
I didn't dig myself out of some country coal mine.
Oh, no, you sound like a very educated, very refined man, but that's not the point. I was simply asking why you're calling our show with such a bad attitude.
What would be the point, sir?
What would be the point?
Yeah.
First off, you people don't usually give someone a reason to talk. You don't let them get through saying anything unless you call that country girl with that TV set that y'all gave them.
I took the butcher knife and I put it up to her neck. And I said, if you want to live to see tomorrow, you better start frying them eggs. I'm tired of getting slimy eggs.
Now, come on, what are you so mad about?
That's pretty funny there, John.
Listen, what are you so mad about?
Well, you know, I'll tell you what I'm so mad about.
What?
I mean, y'all think that your hipsness is like...
Who says that?
I said that.
I think we've said many, many times on this program that both of Sparrow stink.
Really smell bad, like a dead animal. Awful.
Well, I can smell it over the radio sometimes.
Right. So what is your point?
So once
that
again,
is my point.
Well, no, we wouldn't say that Sparrow doesn't stink.
We never do. We've never made that statement before. Why are you so angry? Why are you calling us so angry?
Well, I think, you know what? A lot of people feel the way I feel.
And what is your...
change the channel. Like, you always want
to... Well, then why don't you change... If you don't like our show, why not change the channel?
That's right. You're exactly right.
Right.
I do like your show about 50% of the time.
Well, great. Then turn it off the other half and we'll be fine.
But it seems to me that you seem very upset today for some special reason.
Why?
And it has to do with Chicago. It's something about what irritated you specifically.
Oh, I'll tell you what, John, you remember Dom. I talked to you before.
You remember Don.
Oh, of course I remember this guy.
But no, you're going to remember this in a minute. You remember Jonathan Brandmeier.
Jonathan Brandmeier is a disc jockey in Chicago.
Right.
Right.
And I had this conversation with you, and you said you didn't want to talk about him.
Are you a radiophile? Yeah, listen, I don't like wasting my time talking about other radio guys. That's
well,
a fact.
Can't somebody be more successful than, say, you?
Well, listen, rather than compare me to other guys, let's compare you. Because I'm perfectly happy where I am in the world. I've got no bones with anybody else in the radio business who has any success. No bones at all.
Right.
So what's your point?
What is my point?
I think I've identified what might be the problem.
Yeah.
You cut him off during a previous conversation, and he's irate about that, and you're still angry about that.
Well, maybe Mike's right.
Well, I mean, I identified that was the conversation where you seemed to get irritated. Right?
Yeah, all right. I think I can, he's twist my arm enough where I agree to that.
You're so stupid, man.
Sir?
Really? You're so stupid.
Oh, you think so?
Yes, I really do.
You fat...
Listen, you brainless hick. If you don't like the show,
you
change...
You think everybody's a hick in the South?
No. Yes.
See, there you go.
Yes, I do. I hope I was going to...
And I'll tell you what. The next noise you hear is going to be everybody from D.C. down, baby.
Wahoo!
I got you.
Your mom's going to enjoy my good northern love. Mama, here's Don Geronimo, Civil War surgeon. I'm going to treat your mama like a man from the north treats a woman.
What are you doing, though? You're butting me out here.
Why should I continue to give some hayseed like you airtime?
Is that what you think?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I forgot more than you know.
I don't think you're a hayseed, sir. I think you're A-OK.
Yeah, I think you're butting me out, you jerk.
What did you just say? Yes,
oh. Oh, dear.
Goodness, hey.
Well, he stated his premise. Hey, I like that ending. Oh, that's, we never got that far.
Hey, Jimmy, come here for a second. Give me some background. Why was that guy so angry?
He was angry because obviously he brought up another disc jockey. We hate to talk about other disc jockeys.
Yeah.
So you probably cut him off very short, and that's what he was still angry about.
Really? Is that what did he tell you, Jimmy?
I really have no idea. When he first called up, he just said, his first words out of his mouth were, you're not going to put me through. And I said, why? And he goes, I know you won't put me through. So I put up on the screen. Guy dared me, and so I put him up.
All right. Okay, thank you, Jimmy. Okay. Well, let's keep the hits coming.
I didn't have much fun with that guy.
Come on.
I couldn't be mean to him.
Come on. Remember, how many times I got to tell you, what makes this show work, buddy?
I know, I understand.
Come on, okay?
I wanted to participate in that so bad. I wanted to yell at him, too.
You can hate him during the commercial breaks. Okay, nobody has to know.
This is Larry Michael, Westwood One, Notre Dame Radio. The next time you need light bulbs, look to Sylvania for all your home lighting needs. I do.
Hello.
Hello, Dynamite.
Yes.
Yeah, I just had to call in after that guy from Lynchburg called in. I'm 19 and I'm from Lynchburg, and I think it's pretty damn funny every time someone from Lynchburg calls your show and you start playing the Higg music. So
well, it's not just Lynchburg.
Exactly.
I don't know. Yeah, buddy.
There's a huge part of the country. You know, I bet we've even played that music for Sioux City, Iowa.
I mean, you make fun of everyone with that music. It's not just Lynchburg. You just don't single them out.
Okay.
I'd just like to say happy birthday to Buzz, too.
You got it.
Thank you.
Okay. See you later.
Thank you, my friend.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Hello, Donaldo E. Miguel. Shalom.
Hi, Dynamite.
Hello.
How you doing?
We're doing great, thank you.
We are great.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a little comment about that gentleman that called a little earlier.
Which gentleman? Is that what all these calls are, people about that guy?
No, I think no.
It gets better.
He aroused a lot of sentiment in the audience.
It's about Mr. Rump Ranger. I'll tell you what, you guys rule.
Mr. Rump Ranger.
If he don't like it, he can just turn the channel.
Oh, and listen, my apologies to everybody on the network. I understand that right when I was getting to the good part of the argument with that guy,
yes,
telling him that I would give his mom some northern love,
right?
That I guess the network cut us off.
Yeah, the guy pressed the wrong button, and we went to commercials all along the network.
So you didn't hear the end of that argument where it kind of tailed off because then he said the F word, and we had to delay it out.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. So I'm just bringing it up to speed. I thought it was a real good one.
It was Donnie versus the Rump Ranger.
As a matter of fact,
and we know who won.
We logged that one for best of, so I'm sure you'll be hearing that argument again.
That's a sweet one. Good.
All righty, I got one more comment for you.
What's that, sir?
I understand that me and Don have a favorite female celebrity.
Oh, do we? You mean Angela Lansbury?
Helen Hunt.
Helen Hunt.
Oh, yeah, I got to think about Helen
Hunt. Oh, you, me too.
Helen!
You can't get no better than that.
That is so rare, sir, yes, because not too many guys find her appealing. And as you said, you don't get no better than that.
That's right.
Isn't that the truth?
I agree with that premises.
She's got just that casual, normal girl kind of attraction.
She sure do.
That's right. Good lady to look at. Otherwise, you have to go out and win another movie.
Yeah, I've told that to my fiance too, and I asked if I could put a picture of her above my bed, and she said no.
That has to make a girl feel good.
Well, hey, you know, guys got to have dreams, right?
Who is the celebrity your fiance most resembles?
Oh, geez, you don't want to hear this one.
Yes, we do.
Sure, we do.
I sure do.
I guarantee you, we do.
All right, like a Terry Hatcher, but about like maybe 130.
Really?
So yeah. You mean like a fat Lois Lane?
Oh, no, she's not fat. She just ain't slender. But
well,
that
no,
way. She's not heavy.
Well, now, if your wife looks like Terry Hatcher, why would you possibly want to put up a picture of Helen Hunt?
Well,
to
she's
fantasize
not.
About.
And really, Terry Hatcher, I think, is a little too skinny, so it sounds like your wife might be Terry Hatcher, the voluptuous Terry Hatcher, which is a very attractive woman.
So why would you want to put up a picture of Helen Hunt to look at?
Well, you see, the way it is, she's my wife, yes. Everything's fine. Love her to death. But guys got to have dreams about superstars sometimes, you know.
So you fantasize so significantly about Helen Hunt that you require... Do you require the picture to...
Oh, no, it's not like that at all.
So
it's just very envious. I think she's a very beautiful woman.
But you can never have her, of course, being that she is a major star.
This is true.
And who is that? Who's talking to you there? Is that your lovely wife?
Oh, no. That's just intercom.
The intercom?
Mm-hmm.
The intercom at the place you're staying?
Where I'm working.
No, hold on. Explain this to me again, though. If your wife is cute... Because Terry Hatcher is cute. I think that we're all agreed that she's cute.
Oh, I think Terry Hatcher is one of the most beautiful women in the world.
If your wife is cute and if she's not fat, you know, not that there's anything wrong with being fat. I'm fat myself, and I'm great in bed. But why would you want to put up a picture of Helen Hunt?
Oh, I just tease her with it. Just
oh, you tease her. Well, that must make her feel awful.
See, and she has no recourse. What's she going to do, put up a picture of Paul Reiser? What guy's going to be threatened by a picture of Paul Reiser?
Well, I think a lot
That's
of guys would, seriously, Don, a lot of guys would really be seriously offended and bothered by pictures of Paul Reiser up above the bed. Seriously. That's
wearing one of his Shreddish.
My Shreddish and doing one of his, you know, the. How about the picture of the disembodied head of Paul Reiser? What he did when he used to do the IBM commercials.
I remember.
Yeah,
that's right.
That was scary. Very scary. Oh, Helen.
It's not terrible. That, you're making it sound worse.
You sound like a big man. Who's the celebrity you most resemble?
Oh, well.
You have a car there in your office?
Oh, no. It's just outside.
Is somebody waiting to get into the bay?
That's what they think. I charge too much for that.
Okay. So who's the celebrity you most resemble?
Well... As far as facial features, I really couldn't tell you.
All right, how about body features? Whose body would you have?
Oh.
What celebrity bod?
Van Damme.
Van Damme?
Yes.
Van Damme.
Van Damme.
You know, Van Damme.
You betcha. Jean-Claude.
Yes. You sure it's not more like a Jackie Chan?
Oh, no.
Or a Steven Seagal?
Very sure.
Very sure?
I was in the service person.
That's Steven Seagal.
Who's the one that I'm forgetting? Who's the one who was in the hockey movie? Which guy is that? Oh, that might have been Van...
That was Van Damme.
That was Van Damme.
That was Jean-Claude Van Damme. Van Damme.
Jean-Claude
Van Damme.
Van Damme. All right.
So you say the body of Van Damme.
And the head of...
Really couldn't figure one.
Come on.
Please.
Come on. Please
help us. Help us and our listeners.
I'm trying.
Come on. Are you a handsome guy?
Well, being impartial, yeah, a little bit.
A little bit handsome.
Average. Maybe a little better.
Mm-hmm. Are you as cute as Pat Sajak?
Oh, give me a break.
I think he's dreamy.
You're better looking than Pat Sajak?
Wow.
Definitely.
Wow. Nobody's better looking than Pat Sajak.
Except maybe you guys.
No way. Listen, we know our limitations, man.
Gosh, this is such a quiz for our audience. The body of Van Damme, but the head of who?
Well, let me see. I'll ask my coworker.
Listen, why don't you put a coworker on the phone?
Very good.
All right.
That's the best way we can find
out. Coworker on the phone. Here you go.
Okay.
This is a fun game.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, this is Don and Mike. Who's this?
This is Rich.
Hey, Rich, this guy who called us up?
Yeah.
Let me ask you some questions about him.
All right, go ahead.
What's his wife look like? And I know you can't say if she's good or bad. Cough once if his wife is cute, and cough twice if she's not so cute.
She's very cute. So that means she's very cute.
All right, then again, I still don't understand why the guy would have the picture of Helen Hunt.
Cough once if she looks like Terry Hatcher. Cough twice if she doesn't look like Terry Hatcher.
One and a half.
Okay, good.
All right. Now, this guy, he says that he has the body of Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yes. Cough once if that's true. He doesn't.
That would mean no.
Right. He doesn't have a...
Okay. And can you tell me his head, his face? Who does he have the head of? Who does he have the head of?
Whose head does he have?
Or what celebrity do you think he most resembles?
Is his head normal size?
It's a little bit smaller than normal.
Small? Is it a Beetlejuice head?
Yeah.
You know,
that's about it.
Remember at the end of Beetlejuice, we came big, yeah, huge? Yeah. But just a little itty bitty body.
You know, he's talking like that. Hey, what are you doing? Hey, come on, guy, what are you doing? Come on.
So who's the celebrity that you think he most resembles?
Remember the Brooklyn Brawler in wrestling?
He looks like a wrestler?
Yeah, the Brooklyn Brawler.
I hate it when people use wrestlers.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, all wrestlers are handsome, Mike, so we know he's got to be a good-looking guy.
Do you look at anything like Tugboat?
No, not quite.
All right. And listen, where do you guys work when you're listening to the show today? We appreciate it. We'll give you a plug.
All right, Condon Auto Sales.
Gotcha.
All right. Thank you, my
great
friend.
Great job, fellas.
Right, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, well. I guess we're not going to get him again.
Okay, well, we get a picture that he looks like a wrestler, and he sort of has the body. He doesn't have the body of Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Dom. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, the guy works for a fast food restaurant.
God damn it.
Hello.
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 Hey, how you guys doing?
We're great, thank you.
Hey, that guy works for a fast food restaurant. You hear the car horn honk and the speaker?
I think they just told us that they work at some kind of auto parts place.
Sure wish it was Denny's, because I could really go for the Grand Slam breakfast.
Don and Mike show.
Hello?
Hello. And don't forget that band that George Michael was in. You know, Wham. Hello?
Hi, Don and Mike?
Yes, sir.
Hi. I was on vacation recently, and I came across this book called Bad TV. And I think I got something to add a little fire to your Jerry versus Dick Van Dyke.
Well, listen, just tell me, in the book of Bad TV, that could have the name of Dick Van Dyke nowhere in the page.
Actually, it is. They just mentioned it in relation to Jerry, because actually there's no mention of Dick in this as being any Bad TV. But the... they give these awards.
Jerry's much more of a hom.
No, Sam, I am. I don't like green eggs and hom. Well, listen, real fast. What does it say about Jerry Van Dyke?
Okay, the worst sitcom in history, according to these people, was My Mother, the Car. There's a quote in here by Jerry, though. It says, My mother, the car, was so remarkably feeble, and Jerry, especially in relation to his wildly successful brother, was so pathetic that we were transfixed by the horror through two full seasons. Quote, no matter how well I did things, Dick could always do them five times better.
You know, that should be a textbook in all of our public schools, libraries, and colleges.
I would like to point out that on this very program, Dick Van Dyke himself said his brother is funnier.
And then he was being polite.
I will take it to my grave.
Thank you, my friend.
To continue, it also said, he said, I always came out the loser.
Got to go. No doubt there.
Please, can't someone just stop picking on the man?
Thank you. Please stop the monkeys. Mike's too young.
Happy birthday, Buzz.
Thank you.
Okay, oh, darn it.
Goodbye, my friend. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hello. La, la, la. The Don and Mike Show.
Now, this past weekend, besides all the things going on, besides the fact that the Sammy Sosa, Mark McGuire bet ended.
Right.
Dennis went to gay bingo. He went to the ESPN thing. There was one other event happening this weekend. Our own Bobo Spiewak.
Right.
Went to Redskins Stadium, where he was selected as the announcer for the starting lineups for the Washington Redskins Carolina Panthers game.
Now, after having your heart broken the first week, the opener, the home opener, they didn't let you do it then, but they let you do it yesterday.
It made up for it because, as you know, I live, breathe, and die sports. So it was exciting to get down on the old gridiron.
Now, I was telling Mike, the funniest moment was I was still on the air doing the Redskins pregame show, and while we're on the air, Broyhill taps me on the shoulder, and I turn around because Larry was talking. I go, what, I'm doing the show. And he points up to the big Jumbotron, and there is Rob Spiewak's giant face.
Gotta know that was beautiful. Really beautiful. And with the way they have the Jumbotron placed, there was no glare. All that shine was me.
Now, did you were you aware of you being on the Jumbotron, or were you facing
it?
Or
I did not look, and my wife, they actually let my wife come down on the field with me in a last-ditch effort to save the marriage, and she didn't even look up there.
Right.
So I had no idea until Don told me that
so
I was
on the Jumbotron.
So everybody
at the game saw your massive cranium on a massive Jumbotron.
Right, and they recoiled in horror.
So what we're going to hear first is Rob being introed by the Redskins PA guy.
Yeah. The real guy that everybody recognizes.
Yeah, the guy that goes like, 3rd and 3 from the 27.
Right.
Then we will hear Rob bring Redskins fans on the field to try to kick a field goal to win a prize.
Okay. Right?
Then we will hear Rob introduce his good friend Ronald McDonald.
Mm-hmm.
Then Rob will introduce the band and the Redskinettes.
Mm-hmm.
Then he will introduce the Carolina Panthers. and then the Washington Redskins.
One thing that was sort of surprising is they have the entire game of PA stuff scripted. It's a thick, thick thing.
Yeah, that's what they do.
And they thrust it all at me, and they sort of sprung it on me, and they do it all, and it's all down to like 15-second increments. And the whole time I'm talking, there's a lady next to me, Britt Williams, who was great, but she says, faster. Slower, slower, fast, fast, faster, slower, because she's trying to hit all her little five-second marks.
Right.
Do a player. So she's like a mental patient, but
cool.
She was great. Very, right. Very
and
nice.
The people from the Redskins, bless their hearts, they were so upset. Yesterday, I was up in the booth getting ready to do the pregame show, and I had no less than four people from the Redskins PR staff come by. First one said, do we have to worry about the fellow from your show who's doing the announcements? I said, no. He's really into it.
He'll be fine.
Second guy comes by and he says, you haven't written anything for him, have you? I said, no, he's just going to be
right.
Reading whatever you wrote him. Third guy comes by, all these people from the PR office,
right.
Rob, they come by and they go, this Rob Spiewak, is this a joke to him or does he take this seriously? I can't take this.
Wow.
Fourth guy comes by, big up in the PR department,
yeah.
Says,
yeah.
I want you to know something. We're going to hold you personally responsible for his conduct today.
Oh, wow. That's pretty heavy duty.
Yeah.
Is that the guy that said there'll be no shock jockery?
I think it is. It's the guy who called Jeremy on Friday.
Yeah,
really?
We'll have no shock jockery.
No shock jockery.
The Redskins had their panties in a wad about nothing.
Yeah.
Rob went out there. As a matter of fact, Fried and I bust a gut when we heard him announcing some of the Redskins players from North Carolina. Brad Johnson!
it starts out a little tentative, but by the time I got into it and
by the time you were confident,
how great and how fun this was,
right.
I was really knocking myself out, so I'll apologize in advance that I do sound like a mental patient by the time I bring out the Redskins office. I'm screaming my head off, my voice
go.
Is cracking, but
good.
It was a lot of fun.
All right.
Is this
on tape one, Robbie?
It is on real
right.
One.
Here's the Redskins, the real announcer guy, introducing Robbie.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak from WJFK to host Modell's Field Goal Challenge and the team introductions. Take it away, Rob.
Thank you. Good afternoon. The key contestant in Modell's Field Goal Challenge today is Bud Laurie from beautiful Waldorf, Maryland. Now, Bud is going to attempt three field gift certificates from Modell Sporting Goods.
That was your microphone crapping out there?
Yeah, they had trouble with their wireless microphones.
Okay.
Later on, they switched me to a wired mic, so the sound picks up a little
bit. All right.
That's good. You could use a little more boot, Bud, but that's good for three. Let's see number two.
You sound very tentative right now.
It's nervous. It's the first time that I'm in there and actually having...
That's great.
It's like a full second coming back at you, so it's a little weird and spacey
sure.
When you're trying to talk.
But doesn't that calm you down a little bit? I mean, did it calm
the
you down?
The soothing sound of my voice?
No,
of course.
Just kind of like that. It's so big that you really...
Yeah,
you know.
I guess, but that's why I was talking like three syllables at a time at first, because
right.
You're trying to get used to it.
Sure.
It's kind of crazy.
Do you ever look up and realize there are 80,000 people there?
I was so focused on looking at that one stupid little microphone in the script. I could have been in a box. I had no idea what was going on.
All right, let's hear more now.
Excellent work. Let's see number three. Make Waldorf proud, Bud. Oh, a little to the right, but two for three is good. For $250 in gift certificates from L. Congratulations, Bud. Let's hear it for him.
Listen to that crowd roar.
They're going nuts. They love you, Rob.
I'm into a frenzy.
They
really
love you.
Did.
Now you
going to
introduce Ronald McDonald?
Yes, that's the next thing I'm saying.
You're a good friend.
He's a little creepy. See him running around.
On the hey, that's my daughter's favorite.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The Redskins and the Ronald McDonald House have a special announcement. And here to tell you more is Ronald McDonald himself.
Whoa, all right.
Is that Ronald?
That's Ronald. He was great. Real pro.
Hey, I like the music.
Yeah, I didn't pick that.
Hey, Siri, ooh, yes, pull my finger.
He's a black Ronald McDonald.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
I like that. Very good. Very cool.
Right, now we're going to hear Rob introduce the marching band and the cheerleaders.
This is big time. This is we're getting close to the real deal here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I cut out, the band actually played.
Welcome to a new season, Redskins football. Today's game features the Carolina Panthers versus your Washington Redskins.
Is that the cue to the band?
For your entertainment, we introduce a group that has become a Washington institution. Celebrating their 65th
good, isn't he?
Yeah, he's good.
Once again, the Washington Redskins marching band. And now let's hear it again for the Washington Redskins.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, I don't know if it's a change in the ownership, but the Redskinettes this year are so hot.
Really? Yeah, I saw some of them on TV. Yeah, they've made some changes.
In previous years, they've had some real pigs out there.
Right.
As the Redskinettes.
Mm-hmm.
They're hot this year.
And I think a little younger. I think the mean age is a little younger this
year. There you go. Yeah, it's not a career anymore.
All right, now we have you introducing... Did you introduce the defense of the Panthers or the offense?
Yeah, the Panthers first. And that was their defense. They didn't know until the very last minute. So it was
you did not get to see, say, Biakabatuka.
Tim Biakabatuka. No, I did not.
Biakabatuka.
But when Carrie saw him on the field, she laughed because that's all I've been saying at the house all week.
Biakabatuka! You screwed it up there.
I did.
Too bad you didn't do the offense, because you also would have had to do Mushin Muhammad.
Right. Yeah, there was
Can I tell you something really seriously? Your whole presentation, I think, is fantastic.
Well,
like somebody that... You sold it, which
you
is really
terrific.
You may
want to hold on to that until you hear me screaming the Redskins.
Okay, all right. Well, it was so far so great, in my opinion.
All right, let me hear a little more here. This is Robbie now introducing the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, and they said, don't put anything into this. This is the opposition.
Okay.
It's time to introduce today's opponent, the Carolina Panthers, coached by George Seifert.
Right,
and the starting defense for the Panthers.
Yeah. But what?
I was asking Rob if this was the most nervous he was,
because
this is the real football.
I had only seen the names just recently. Like 5 minutes is when they decide whether I'm going to introduce the offense or the defense, and I didn't know the names very well.
No real tough ones on Carolina, right?
No, pretty easy. It was cool, and I don't know if it picked up on the tape. It was the greatest boo when they introduced Sean Gilbert.
All right, Redskins fans hate him.
Okay, here we go.
At left end, number 97, Jason Peter. At left tackle, number 90, Tim Morabito.
That's tough.
Oh, that was a tough one, Ron.
That's a real tough one.
Morabito.
Anybody help you with that one?
No, I knew that because I'd tutored with Jim McClure.
Okay, very good.
Morabito. Good luck to you. I'm going to get another half smoke. Morabito.
Is that the lady talking to you in the background?
Mm-hmm.
At right tackle, number 94, Sean Gilbert.
They're listening to you, Rob.
Yeah, they are.
At right end, number 99, Chuck Wiley.
Hey, Wiley.
At linebacker, number 91, Kevin Green. At linebacker, number 55, Steve Tovar.
I'll tell you, you sound very macho doing it.
Yeah, you're belting it out, buddy.
The voice almost runs out before it's all said and done.
Wait till he gets to the Redskins.
Yeah,
then he'll turn on the voice that we wanted him to do.
Okay, good.
His rattling voice.
Yeah, they told me, just read the names and that's it.
Right.
For Carolina, right. No enthusiasm.
Right.
Enthusiasm.
Linebacker, number 56, Mike Barrow. At left cornerback, number 25, Eric Davis.
If you want, I'll take it out. If you want to take it out, you're welcome.
And who's talking there?
I don't know. I think that might be how they have the stadium wired.
Okay.
There was no one near me, so I don't know who that would be talking.
All of a sudden, that just sounded like I'm listening to Steve Johnson.
Could have been Steve Johnson, Mike.
Yeah, really.
if they had a microphone out in the beer truck.
At right cornerback, number 33, Doug Evans.
Say you want to put it right on the 50.
At safety, number 46, Brent Alexander.
You put that where you want it, and we'll put this aside.
And at safety, number 30, Mike Minter.
So now you're done with Carolina?
That's it for Carolina. The Redskins have a fireworks shot for every time a player comes out, which is sort of cool.
Right.
Because that was seriously like 5 yards to my left.
Right.
So there's fireworks going off, and they're playing this loud music, and that's one of the reasons why I guess I got excited and screamed my full head off.
All right, hold on. This is where it gets good now.
Okay.
There we go. Robbie, part four.
Fourth cut.
Here we go.
Here it is.
This is a good one.
This is it. Coming up
We're
now.
We're rolling.
We're recording.
We're ready right now.
Here it
most
is.
Folks.
Here he comes.
Well, most folks.
Right now.
Here it comes.
Most folks. Oops, sorry.
Oh, here they are.
Hold on. Back it up a little bit.
Yeah, I want to hear the whole thing.
Yeah, me too. All right, you got it?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
And now, here they are, coached by Norv Turner, your new Washington Redskins.
Wow.
Yeah, they do run the good devil music at Redskins Stadium now.
Your new Washington Redskins! And the starting offense for your Redskins at wide receiver,
drowning your ass
well,
out
I wish
here.
I could hear you better.
That's why I told you.
Now,
I'm
could
screaming.
You hear it? Was it that way in the stadium, too? Or?
Well, as you can tell, I'm doing my best to hear myself. I'm screaming.
I mean,
my head.
So that, if you're sitting in the stands, we were sitting in the stands, no, and they had it balanced out in the stands.
Right.
So you could hear Rob.
Good.
Louder than the music.
Good, good, okay.
I think it just must be because we're getting a feed like from the Redskins mixing board.
Yeah, before,
right.
Maybe even before it goes into the mixing board.
Right. Who is that, Keith Sims?
Keith Sims.
That's the first time your voice is given
I told you that I was doing it all I got.
That's a year's voice crack on that one, though.
Yeah. Raymer! Corey Raymer!
You sound like Wally Cleaver there, Robbie.
That's all I've got.
Number 80, giving it everything I got.
Thank you for coming, ladies and gentlemen.
I do remember from sitting in the stands, he really does sell when the quarterback comes up.
There
he introduces Brad Johnson.
Good, good, good.
That's what he really gives it.
And wide receiver,
that one you really did.
Yeah.
And then they ran me off the field.
That was it?
That was
That's it.
It.
That's it. Bravo.
All right, Robbie.
Nicely done, Rob.
Great job.
I like the voice cracking. I like the whole thing. I think you did a great job.
Yeah, perhaps a little practice. Who knows? We can beat that.
No, you done good, Rob.
Yeah. Excellent job.
You're good. You didn't screw the pooch.
Oh, that's
cool.
Fantastic.
You know what?
You know, you have, that's balls to do it that way. I mean, really, we do that in here all the time. We do it in our Las Vegas shows, but to do it there, did anybody give you any heebie-jeebie looks when you did that at all?
No, not at all. And as a matter of fact, that was the only thing I knew going in. As I said, I told Don and Mike I had to wear my hat, and I had to scream the Redskins' names like that.
All right, very good.
And they were cool with it, so it all worked out.
I'm going to call the Redskins tomorrow and see if we can get a better tape. Maybe they've got an in-house tape.
They have another tape coming. I forget the gentleman's name, but they actually have a video they're going to send me as a keepsake, and so perhaps the audio will be better on that.
Excellent.
All right, then we'll be able to hear that one more
time.
Very good, very good.
Rob Spiewak!
You had to be there.
That was great.
I had to see his big head on the big jumbotron. I about f***ed my pants.
Speaking of pants, I bet his were in a royal one.
Speaking of his pants,
yeah.
Rob just split his pants.
I did.
During the commercial set. I knocked over a...
You got to work hard to split a pair of jeans.
Well, these are old. I mean, these Bauer jeans, Eddie Bauer, they're the greatest. They wear like iron, but these are like probably 2 years old.
I knocked over a bunch of pencils and stuff, and I said to Rob, oh, don't worry, I'll get them. And I leaned over to pick them up, and he said, no, I'll get it. And he leaned over, and I was in. He said, well, there go the pants.
Hey, all in a day's work.
That's right. Hey, you know, it's the excitement. It's the excitement. That's it. No, it's not. It's you're too big.
We will be right back. Sorry, we're out of time.
Till we meet again, this is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.